hallelujah, to hell with the flu. They gonna stop me. Hey everybody, welcome to the Sunday service here on DoubleToasted.com. I am Pastor Corey Coleman. I'm sick. I ain't gonna lie to you. I know, I'm serious. I'm ill right now. So don't breathe on this microphone, anybody.
How you get the flu in the summer?
Man, I don't know how I did that, but somehow I got it. That lets you know, if there's ever a virus that breaks out that's killing people, I'm going to be the first one to go.
Patient zero.
Patient zero. I'm going to be that monkey. People do say that about you. I'm sick. I know. That's racist, some racist shit, man. But you saying, man, this got to stop. We got to support each other, man. Can be calling each other monkeys. They're not just monkeys, but sick monkeys, too. You sick ass monkey. That's some racist shit, man. How you doing, Minister Martin?
I'm doing all right.
You know, man, it's going to be interesting today because I am not in my mind right now. But I am here for you, boy. And I couldn't sleep last night. I'm tired. I am sick.
I know you're sick because you got here on time today.
Yeah, I know.
I pulled up and I saw your car. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you know why? Because I was up all night, man. I didn't sleep. Aww. So when I didn't sleep, I just prepared for the show. Here's the thing. I said, you know what, though? This would be a good time to show people a very good example of dedication, right? You know, I'm here. You know, if I can be here while I'm having the flu halfway dying, then ain't nobody else got no excuses.
Damn.
Yeah, exactly. Damn, yeah.
Only you would spin it like that.
Yeah. I am dying right now. But, hey, these people have got to see. And plus, there are some things that we need to talk about. Because people wouldn't have liked it if I had skipped the show today and didn't. Because talking about racist, people been talking about, yeah, man, you review them cars, but you won't talk about that Tupac. And I'm like, come on. And one person even said, yeah, you review them white ass cars. I'm like, that don't, what?
Them white ass cars gave us a screening.
Yeah.
Tupac was a little stingier.
Like, how you know they white? Well, they got blue eyes and shit. I was like, okay. I can't argue with that. Could be contacts, but I don't know. But yeah, people, we are going to talk about All Eyes on Me, the Tupac Shakur biopic. At least I'm going to talk about that. I wanted to go see it yesterday. The reason why we didn't review it before is because they didn't give us a screening. That's why. Stop throwing accusations around.
Yeah,
people.
We see almost everything.
We see everything. We don't see it is because they didn't give us a screen. And people just read it. Yeah, you ain't black. You didn't talk about Tupac.
People are ready with that.
I know. They ready with that. Ready with that. And they talk about, yeah, man, you know, you don't like them sharks either.
Don't be that way, y'all.
Yeah, you don't like fish, but you're going to be talking about 47 meters down.
Yeah, which I paid my own money to see. They had some kind of screening on a night that they didn't invite us to.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
You tell me.
Was it the Alamo Draft House?
I don't even know the details of it. I just know some people who went to it.
The Alamo Draft House took a bunch of motherfuckers and threw them in some water.
They would do that, right?
There was a screen at
special
the bottom
screen
of the
video. With an actual shark.
With a real shark. Only Alamo would do that shit. Throw you in a tank of sharks to watch that fucking movie. But you saw 47 Meters
Down.
I did. So you're going to watch that. And are you going to talk about that? Mm. And we're going to talk about some other things that happened out there. Everything that's happened is depressing. I don't know.
For real.
Everything. Last week, it has been nothing but depression. I'm going to get through that real quick, and we're going to try to get back to the funny business. But yeah, if you can just hold on for just give us like about 15 minutes to just, you know, pay our respects to depressing shit out there, then we'll get back with like the top five.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it is Father's Day.
It is.
You are the real cat daddy. If you ever lived up to that title, it's today. I didn't bring no gifts, though. Sorry. Actually, I brought me.
That's going to have to be enough.
And Martin's like, yeah, I practically raised you, so you are like my kid. I ain't number
but it's true. You were a kid when I met you.
You were. You were number like what, 7 years older than me? But mentally, I was like 10.
Yeah, pretty much.
Daddy. Daddy.
You're so different.
Daddy. Can I do a show, Daddy? Daddy, you gonna get in on time today, Daddy? But yeah, man, Cat Daddy. Gonna pay Father's Day respects to you. Gonna read some emails. I actually have some calls. Since I said I'm going to try to get back into calls, we're going to do that and more. But before I go any further, I want to say that we have a special guest in today.
I see.
You see over there. Look at that. We have
an Italian Greyhound.
An Italian Greyhound. We got Kari Kiki with his hipster dog. Well, sorry, y'all.
I see Carl Hill in a long time.
He hadn't been here in a while. I hung out with him yesterday. That's why he's here.
Right.
Yeah, he let us come over and have a play date with his dog. So so we took the dogs over there. You know, did some hipster shit.
Wait, what about the new cat?
Oh, I got something to tell you about that cat, too. I got something to tell you about everything. Everything with me being ill. I want to welcome everybody else in here. Renee, saw you in Dallas. How you doing? Good. Yeah, good. Renee, like, you don't remember me. I don't.
But he's got that look.
But he does.
Yeah.
He does.
It's like, because he was here for the high score yesterday, and I stopped by and watched some of that. And we were sitting next to each other. And the whole time, I was like, I don't know this guy's name, but he looks like a Renee.
But no, you didn't say that.
No, actually, in my head, I did.
No, he didn't say that. Yeah, but when you say like a Renee, what does that mean? He looked like a bitch. No, okay. I
don't know how you translate that at all. That's the flu talk.
Yes, no, because all the Renees I know are bitches. That's why. But
you don't know any male Renees?
No.
All right, I know several.
I don't know. You are some fancy shit because I don't know. I don't. Who says?
Well, you know that one. It's a male name also, usually Hispanic.
And some of the males that I do know are bitches too. That's not, yeah, man, that's not just.
Man, you see I'm trying over here.
So, Renee, are you a bitch or not? That's what I want to know. Well, he's like, I just got here, man.
I know. He came all the way from Dallas to watch you, so you can call him a bitch?
He didn't come all the way from Dallas just for this. Did you do that? You came all the way from Dallas for this? No. No, I will
Man,
not.
I don't know. He put some steak on that.
He sure did. No, if I say so, you ain't going to call me a bitch no more, are you? Shit, I don't know. The way you talking, I might. Cause
yeah, if I were you, I would not do that.
Because he was like, when we talked to him before, he was like, hey, how's it going? And I saw him saying, bitch, you're like, hey, now, I ain't going to handle that bitch shit. Renee don't put up with no bitch shit.
Because you're joking around, but you think about how you react when you get called that.
What? Couldn't call bitch?
Uh-huh.
I just let it slide, man.
Sammy.
I might call him a bitch right now.
I would test it.
You put a high premium on your pride.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I know. I do, man. I do. And he's right. You know why? I put high premium on my pride because I pay bitches to respect it. That's why. Yeah, it's about it. You see how that works out, people? Hey, Martin, I also want to welcome people to the show. But let me see here. I'm trying to decide. Do I welcome the people out there? Do I welcome the people in the chat? You know, I'm going to go ahead and get the chat out the way. Let's go ahead and welcome the backbone of this community, the people who make this website what it is, this show, and today, this church. Of course, Martin, I'm talking about the chat.
Chat.
How y'all doing today? How's everybody feeling? Good
Uh-oh,
to have
buffering.
You here.
Buffering.
What's that?
Screen. It was just buffering.
I don't worry about it. It's fine. I ain't doing nothing. It's good.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Don't worry about it. You shouldn't worry about it. You're looking nice right there, man. That's a,
just frozen.
That's a good freeze right there. Not that one. Yeah, people. Oh, let me see here. And I want to welcome all of you folks out there. Those who are watching at home. You know, it's Sunday, and I know it's Father's Day. And I know that y'all are you're probably spending some time at home with your father.
No, they ain't.
No, they ain't.
Father's Day ain't no big deal.
No, ain't no big. People love Mother's
here's
Day.
Here's a tie. Here's some socks. Now go make us some breakfast.
People do shit for their mamas all the time. Mm-hmm. Love their mamas. Don't nobody give a fuck about Father's Day.
Not at all.
That's why I don't want no kids. You know me. I'm petty with that shit. You know, I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But for those of you at home who are probably hanging out with your folks, here's another thing. You were probably running them streets last night, too. And you out there sinning, doing all kind of nasty shit. And if you can run them streets, then you can come to church on Sunday, as they say. So, and here's, you know, the other churches out there, they require you to get up, put on a suit, go there all nice and dressed up. We say, go ahead, prop your feet up, sit in your drawers, play with your nuts. All you got to do is pull out.
You don't have to.
No, you don't have to.
You can, but you don't have to.
Just leave one hand free to type on a keyboard. kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's KCOOLMANZ @gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, if you'd like to be a part of the church today, as I've been asking you to, in that email, put your phone number and put your Skype contact in that person. Bam, Martin, hallelujah, up in your home, bringing the Spirit to you, the only host in the world, the only pastors in the world that do those house calls, Martin. We on that Twitter @KCoolMan, on the Instagram @DoubleToasted Fan Page, on Facebook, type in Double Toasted. If you'd like some private prayer time with me, type in Corey.Coleman.5. But if I'm too busy saving them souls out there, Minister Martin can
perhaps
help you.
I can reach you on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoFro, or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook.
Or you can bring your ass down here in person.
Like these people.
Like these people over here in the world famous Double Toaster Studios. I like the way Chris is like, yeah, that's me. I'm here. Yeah, be like Chris. Yeah. Be like him and come on down to the world famous Double Toaster Studios. You know, if you're going to be visiting Austin, if you're going to be moving to Austin because it's so cool, hey, you might already live in Austin. You don't tell nobody. That's some sneaky shit. Don't be like that. Let us know. Come see your show. kcoolmans@gmail.com. You know how it is. You send me an email, I'll send you an email. We'll coordinate with each other, and that way we can accommodate you. I'm not spinning today.
You sure?
I'm sick. I'm not.
You know,
spinning
and maybe
today.
If you spin counterclockwise, it'll reverse the sickness.
Do you want bile all over you right now?
You'd be like Superman and spin the world.
You want some of my mixed in with that? Yeah, it comes back around. I'm a little kid. Wearing a diaper and shit. Shit, you want some vomit mixed in with that paisley? Then let me spin around today. I can't do it, man. I can't do it. I am surprised I'm here today. I think I have the flu. I don't know what it is because yesterday I was hanging out just fine. I thought it was a cold. Mm-hmm. Friday, I was sneezing.
That's right, you were.
Yeah, you saw it. Yeah, yeah, I was sneezing. I'm just like, oh, these are just allergies. But yesterday, I went out and hung out at Carl's place. And I got back home and my head started getting heavy, and then I started getting chills.
Sound like Carl dosed you.
Maybe he did, but it wasn't nice, no, man, because I did not completely out.
He gave you some of that rich hipster food and your delicate system couldn't handle it.
If he had knocked me out and probably raped me, that would have been better than me just walking around half in a daze.
Was he trying to get you to stay while you were trying to leave?
No, he's actually trying to get us the fuck out. You could tell, Carl, I noticed yesterday, because you could tell, because Carl just, he tries to put on a nice face, but he's like, nah. Yeah, you know? Yeah, Carl, nice place. Yeah, nah. Hey, yeah, Carl. So you want to hang out again? Nah. So I'm like, yeah, and that's the only time the guy's like, well, I guess we better go. Okay, well. All right then, it's been a pleasure having you. Yeah, before you're like, nah. Couldn't form words. That sound like a dog. But yeah, I was hanging out with him yesterday. I went home and my head was half heavy. And I went to see that Tupac movie in the middle of it. I just got sick. I started getting like really, I started getting goosebumps all over my body.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah, exactly, man.
It's like he's here.
Tupac's so good, gave me the flu. But when I got home, I said, I'm going to go to bed early. So I got home, and early for me is like 11 o'clock. So
it is early for you.
Man, I was in bed by 11.
Are you shitting me?
No, I was in bed by 11. I said, man, I'm going to get a good night's sleep.
Wow.
And by the time I was in bed, I was just delirious. I couldn't sleep because there were crazy things going on in my head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was, because I was so congested in my head, and the first time I tried to lay down and go to sleep, I couldn't because my mind does fucked up things when it has the flu.
Oh, yeah. Fever will do that.
Yeah. I every time I fell asleep, I dreamt that I was trying to zap my bacteria. I'm not bullshitting.
It's Osmosis
like,
Jones.
Yeah. You know, I was. And every time I would get close, I would wake up and I'm like, fuck. And then I would say, and this is how delirious I am, I was like, I got to go back and try again. So I kept going back in trying to kill my flu in my head.
Got to
put me
back in the matrix.
Yeah. And then I read a book that wasn't helping. And then I said, babe, I'm not going to disturb you. I'm going to go to the couch. And when I got to the couch, I was trying to sleep and I couldn't. And in the dark, I remember just, first of all, I was looking around the dark and I said, oh shit, the cat's not here. And I just roamed around the house looking in every fucking corner for this cat. And then I went to the bedroom and I asked Mia, I said, the cat's not here, where is she? And Mia's like, I don't know. And I was like, where'd you put her? She's like, I put her in the living room. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, she's not there. And she's like, I don't know. Maybe she's hiding. Go the fuck away from me. And then I went and laid down. And in my mind, and there's no bullshit in my mind, This is the delirium talking, the fever. I said, she fucking killed her.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you got all Edgar Allan Poe with this.
Yeah, because every day that cat's this look at me fat, and she's been jumping on her curtains. And she's crazy about those curtains. She's like, she's always yelling at the cat. And she's cool with the cat except for that one time. And she's always coming and telling me, this is what we have here. You know, you did this. And I was like, I'm sorry. All right. You know, she's like, you buy new curtains if she tears these up. And I'm like, okay. So whenever I was asleep, I said, she fucking killed the cat and hit the body somewhere. And I went to, and I actually went to the bedroom and opened the door and just stared at her for a little bit. And she looked up. It was like some horror movie shit. It was a shaft of light going through it. And the only thing that was cast on her was my silhouette. And I just stood there looking at her. And she even looked up at me. She's like, what's going on with you? And I almost said, you did this. And I in my mind, I was like, okay, this is crazy.
Right.
I was like, nothing. And she even said, you think it's that cat, don't you? She's like, I don't know what happened to the cat. And I told her, I said, okay, since we going that way, you fucking killed her. She's like, she even told me, she's like, you're sick. She's like, I'm not bullshitting. We had this conversation. She said, you don't know what you're saying right now.
Right.
This is how sick you are.
Yeah.
And I came to and I was like, damn, man, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. And I just shut the door and just ran back and went on the couch and just covered myself up.
Wow. Did you have chills?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah. You had a fever.
And then I was finally falling asleep, and I kept waking myself up because I discovered a whole new hidden language on Facebook. I found ways to restructure words, and every time I was falling asleep, I would discover a new word to communicate with. Uh-huh. And I could not sleep until like 8 this morning, man.
So did you write any of this down?
Fuck no, I didn't.
You don't remember how to do it now, do you?
No. I do, and this sounds crazy, but this is, I would not say this if it didn't happen, because I'm going to say something that sounds totally ridiculous and it doesn't make sense. But the words were structured around a bicycle frame. You know, the words were, they
that's actually not the craziest thing you've said.
Yeah, and I was like, maybe I should write this down, but that sounds too crazy. I don't want anybody to know this.
Yeah, that's
so
like,
I came on the show and just talked about it.
That's like dudes who smoke a lot of dope and go like, man, I was laying down some knowledge last night. You don't even know.
Nah, man, I have crazy shit. Everything I told you that I mentioned to you happened last night.
Sure,
including that conversation with Mia. I scared myself.
Probably I scared was, her too.
Yeah, I don't think that marriage is gonna be called off now. This guy's insane.
Where the cat at?
She probably nailed some boards over the door after that.
I had visions of her strangling the fucking cat and throwing it over the fence or something, man. I was seeing this shit in my head, and it was real. It was every time I laid down, I would see this. It's real shit to me. So I only slept for an hour after that. Because I had to get up at 9, try to prep stuff.
So did you find the cat?
Yeah, cat came out in the morning.
Jesus.
And I picked it like around 10 o'clock, cat came out.
Like right after you've murdered your fiance.
Yeah.
The cat comes out.
No. And I picked up and I said, hey, baby, you almost got your mama killed. Don't do that again. This would have been your fault.
The cops come, you're like, hey, talk to her.
Yeah, she did this. But yeah, and I don't know how I feel right now. I'm gonna try to make it to the show. Now I'm gonna be straight with you. If I happen to just start getting weak or my mind starts going again, I'm probably gonna have to call the show. I'm probably
okay.
Gonna say stop.
You feel like you're on the verge of that?
I am very delirious right now. I'm not gonna lie to you.
You're doing very well for somebody who's delirious.
My head is dizzy.
Okay.
And
you got a lot to do over there.
I know. But I had some coffee. I ate a little bit. So we're going to try to get through this. But if I happen to just say, like, I'm out of energy, I can't do this anymore.
Okay.
Don't be surprised.
Okay.
You know, we'll get through a couple of things. But,
all right. Fair enough.
I'll let Sammy run with the rest of it.
Okay.
Maybe I'll get through my part and I'll let Sammy just go ahead and take, you know, you doing the review and everything. So we'll see how it goes.
He knew that already, right?
Oh. He's, man, you here. You know how to work these controls? What? Yeah, like I call him at home. Hey, man, can you do the show? He's here. He's sitting right there. Man, I don't know, man. Jesus, you let me know. Oh, you in the room. You know how to do this shit. And just before you're talking about, yeah, you don't want me over there. Yeah, no, which one is it? So, okay, are you down to do it if we actually?
Yeah, if you're dying, yes.
Okay, because I might be. No.
Oh,
no.
Seriously? You didn't take aspirin or anything?
No. No, I didn't.
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't. I
Can run to my car and get something for you.
No, no, no. You know, I like to get through things natural.
Okay.
Coffee's natural, man. That's not a medicine, you know, created by man. You know, I try.
All right. Aspirin's made from trees, but whatever.
I don't trust those trees. I'm getting through this. It's an appeal. You know, it's formed into something uh-huh. that's unnatural. You know, coffee grounds, and there's a powder. It's a natural powder.
All right. Go ahead and die, man.
I'm going to be all right. Should make things interesting, though.
Oh, yeah.
Now, before we get started on anything, I want to wish everybody out there a happy Father's Day, as we said. Martin, it's no secret now.
Yeah,
the cat daddy is a real daddy. Mm-hmm. Brought his daughter in here. Brought in here twice. Regretted both times. I didn't like it either, man.
I know. I told her. She wanted to come some more times. I was like, listen, you know what the deal is. She's like, okay, fine. I won't go.
Yeah.
But last time, we were coming straight from Houston.
Yeah. You know, Martin knows how I am. Because Martin knows, like, his girl is like, what is she, 19 now?
19, yeah.
19. She's of age. Martin knows I talk shit about women.
Mm-hmm.
And your little girl is shaping up to be a fine looking woman. I'm like, what the fuck you going with this?
That's exactly what I thought. Like, where you going with this?
It's the flu talking about.
Flu gonna get his ass beat.
I mean, respectfully, now that she's 19, can I get that number? See, this is what he don't like, and this is what I don't like, you know? Because I've seen that girl from a young age. I mean, ever since she was born. So, you know, I feel uncomfortable when she's in here, too. But the most that we didn't want is for people to know that you actually have a family.
Well, yeah, you know, I for as long as I could, I wanted to keep that part of myself private because people on the internet can be weird.
Oh, yeah.
Or scary.
Oh, yeah. Especially when they know not only you have a family, but you got a teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shit.
But now that she's at an age where she listens to the show on her own, where I can't stop her from listening to it, and she likes it, I'm like, all right, might as well come see it.
I'm just curious, and maybe this is the ego talking too, but what has she come in and said about me, knowing how I am and all the things that I've said? Has she come in and said anything about me like, geez, daddy, I don't know about that guy.
No, she's always loved you. You know, you've always played with both my girls when they were young. I know how it sounds.
I didn't, man. I didn't say shit. That wasn't on me.
but you've always been one of those guys. So you'll play with people's kids and get them all worked up.
Again. Martin doing this shit himself.
You approach them like a playmate.
Yeah.
And get them worked up to a point when their parents are like, all right, you need to settle down now. You got them so worked up that they end up getting punished, usually getting a spanking in public because they don't know how to settle down, and it's your fault, and you walk away from it. I've seen you do that over and over.
I love doing that. I go to parties, and I hand out lots of sugar.
Nah, you know, you'll be messing with them and all kinds of stuff, and they just want to keep fighting and playing, and the parents are like, hey, okay, that's enough. Stop that.
And when I leave, it's like gremlins.
Yeah, it is.
And hanging off the curtains and shit, and I'm like, well, my work here is done. I can leave now.
No, but my kids, they've always loved you.
But you know, I gotta say, now that it's out there, Martin's, and I've said this before, you're a very good father, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I did. That's why it makes me mad. I told you, it makes me mad when people talk about Martin ain't this and Martin ain't that. Y'all ain't seen half the responsible shit that I've seen Martin do. In fact, I've tried. I was the one that would go and tell Martin, man, fuck them kids. Let's go drink.
That's what all your single kidless friends do.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, man, come to my party. I got to take care of my kids. Well, bring them. Shut the fuck up.
Or
like, oh, well, they can come. Yeah, and then when they get there, what are they going to do? Is there going to be other kids there? No. Then no. Why would I have them at something they're going to be bored at?
I would tell Martin, that's what a wife is for, man. Come on, put that shit away and let's go. That shit being his kids, man. Put them motherfuckers away and let's go. Hey, man, I got some whiskey in the car. Let's dose them.
That's what single people say. Yeah. That's what single kidless people say.
Come on, man, let's get the fuck out of here. Cut on some cartoons and put them kids in front of the TV and let's get the fuck out of here.
And honestly, you know what? I know, like, you and I don't hang out on the weekends like we used to, which I miss also. But just as they got older, it just became more like, hey, we like hanging out. I like hanging out with them on the weekend sometimes, so I'm not always available to you.
Oh, I know.
But I do try to make time for you when I can.
I know. I was almost one day going to pull Gwenny aside. Now, look, I knew that motherfucker before you did.
Before you did.
That's my daddy. I don't give a fuck. He's my daddy before you. He raised me before you. You breaking this shit up. Wish you were never born. Hey, you know, speaking of wishing I was never born, my father, I want to wish him a happy Father's Day.
Your dad loved you.
I'm not looking like that.
He just showed it in his own odd way.
Somebody asked me last week, and I didn't even know I put it out there. Somebody said, we had an email from a father. Let me show you this email from a dude who just straight up said, in celebration of Father's Day, we got this dude who sent an email. Just straight up saying, hey, you know what? Let me see here. Is this it? No, that's not it. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know if I should. I thought I had it. I don't. But this guy sent an email talking about, yeah, I'm at the hospital right now and my kids are being born. And I mean, I'm going to love them and everything, but I didn't want them.
Jesus, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He was trying to make it sound as nice as he could. He even had a dog puppet he was talking through. And he was like, yeah, he was saying, let me see. You know what? Let me see if I have it here. I might have it from last week. Let me see. Oh, let me see. I don't think so. I wish I had it because he was being really cool with it. And he was like saying, you know, I'm going to be a good dad. Don't worry about that. But I didn't plan this, and I really don't want them. And, you know, how do you feel about – you talked about how you being with your father. Your father never – you said your father didn't want you, and my father didn't. I told you that straight
well,
up.
Well, hell yeah. Because you're – how much younger than your youngest sibling?
10.
Yeah. Yeah, you were oops.
Yeah, 10 years old. I put some pictures up. We did.
God damn it, Irma.
Yeah. I want y'all to look at something. My man Renee, he saw us do this at the Dallas show. But for those who didn't see it, I want y'all to see my dad real quick. Now, this is my dad post-Corey right here. Now, this is my dad pre-Corey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Willie Coleman was cool and living life before Corey was around. Both him and my, because here's the thing that happened.
Like he's about to go record his Motown album.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what I was saying, Dad. Like he's in a doo-wop group.
Uh-huh.
You know, looking like one of the Five Heartbeats right now. God damn, them pants are flooding, man. He got his leg propped up, and them pants are up to his knees right
there.
How
long are those socks?
You one of the, are those socks? Are they stockings?
I know.
He was happy. My mom even told me. My mom told me straight up. She's like, "Yes, you were an accident. I'm glad to have you." But my father, he made it be known that he didn't. You were a disappointment.
Your mom was a younger woman. Who's? I mean, she's still sexy right now, and she's in her what 80s.
Man, here's the thing.
So you know, back then he couldn't resist. And he's mad at her, but he's more mad at himself.
My mom, and I can see it too, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to my parents, but my mom was so hot, because here she is right here. She, and I even said, look at that shit looking like a Playboy centerfold right there.
Uh-huh. And a Soul Train dancer.
Yeah. My mom, this is my mom back in the 60s. I was born in 71. This is like 68, 69 right there. You know, Summer of Love, so you know they were fucking.
Yeah.
You know,
They had one evening, they listened to Al Green and drinking Cavassier, and one thing led to another.
And you know, the thing is, my dad looked at my mom right there and said, shit, we married, you know, she was probably saying, yeah, I didn't have my birth control. And he's like, fuck it, you know, this ain't going to matter.
Yeah, this is one time. It ain't going to matter.
I'm 50 years old. It ain't going to matter. How well could that sperm be working right now? Then my mom came in and told him, Willie, I got something to tell you. He's like, God damn it. I would go and kiss when my dad came into the house. I even said to someone with Oz and I were talking about my dad came in the house. He would be all over my mom. He was kissing my mom and everything. Mm-hmm. And then I'd run up and try to, like, hey, daddy.
He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. You just reminded me of why I don't do this no more.
Yeah, yeah, I actually wanted to kiss my dad. My dad shook my hand and was like, get the fuck out of here. I tell you, my dad pushed me. I felt it. My dad, I mean, as a kid, my dad just kind of, yeah, fuck yeah, mwah, yeah, get the fuck on out of him. My dad didn't want to deal with me. And I see pictures now of them because they felt like they were on the way out.
Sure. They were almost out.
My brother is 13 years older than me. My sister's 10 years older than me. They were at that point where the kids were getting older. They could kind of start keeping themselves. And my mom and dad were going out on romantic beach walks, taking romantic trips. They thought they were home free.
Oh, yeah.
And then I came and fucked it all up. You know, and I'm saying this because here's the thing about the true meaning of Father's Day. My dad didn't, I'm not gonna say he didn't want me, but he didn't want me around. You know, he's like, all right, you're here, but really, like, he made no bones about it. Life would be a little bit easier if I wasn't here. But the message of Father's Day is that even though he didn't want me around, he did what he had to do.
Well, and that is what it comes down to. You know, you have this life or these lives, in the case of the guy you're talking about, that you're responsible for. I mean, you can be a douche and act like you're not.
Yeah.
Or you can step up and do it. And if you're going to step up and do it, yeah, at first you're going to resist it and still think about, like, this ain't what my life's supposed to be. I don't want to do this. But it's better for everybody once you just accept it and try to do the best you can.
No, my father looked at me and he's like, this was my last chance to get an athlete. You know, all my other brothers, they were, you know, like, I have another brother that's an artist. You know, my brother, my dad, the one in Chicago who's an artist, they didn't get along so much that I don't even know how he got away with this, because he did it in the day that my father would whoop your ass. Like, he would choke the fuck out of you. I mean, the day he slapped the fuck out of me, and I stepped back, and I turned into a bitch. Real, see, I'm a bitch too. He slept one day. I tested him
because
I
thought, why's it got to be two?
I'm kidding, man. But no, I tried to test him because I thought he was old. Uh-huh. You know, I said, because I was bigger than my dad. You know, I thought, this is the day. Old man talked some shit to me, because I said, so we got...
Did you fight in World War II?
No, hell no.
All right then.
And when he slapped me, I realized I was not man enough to do it. My father went to World War II when he was 15 years old. He lied about his age, and they didn't really care. They just needed guys. They would let him in anyway.
Goddamn, Steve Rogers?
Yeah. Yeah, y'all fuck Steve Rogers up too. Thaw that motherfucker out. But my father's done... He's done World War II, Korean conflict, Vietnam, did several tours. He's one of those dudes that's like, I need to get back.
My pop did that too, all three of those.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
My father was one of those dudes like, the real world just ain't working for me. I need to go kill a motherfucker. You know? Because, I mean, we talk about, my dad and I would try to have like these philosophical discussions when he get a little drunk. And I remember one day we got in a discussion of population control. And we were talking about, you know, just a lot of people in the world. And, you know, I think that's going to probably make a change. But I don't know how things are going to be when people start having to, like, feed the world. And you know, and my father said, well, maybe we need – and he got crazy with his eyes, too. Well, maybe we need to kill some people in another war.
Jesus.
All right. Eyes got big. Because that's the way he would
be. You register for the service, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Not just we need another war. We need to kill some people another war. Because that's what my dad didn't like something when he was excited about something. His eyes got big. When my brother was smoking weed sometimes, my father did not like that weed.
How did him and your brother Mark get along?
Not too well. And my father would always say, yeah, I know why he's acting crazy, because he's smoking that weed. He always said it like that too. Smoking that weed. I was like, well, you're drunk. I didn't say that to his face. Because one time I was bigger than him. I was 18. That's when I was sexy. I was strong. I had my game on. Like, shit, I blossomed. And I was like, this old motherfucker ain't going to tell me what to do. I whoop his ass. And one day we got into an argument. And I wasn't saying anything. I was out trying to out-talk him. I was just trying to get louder than he was. Oh, yeah, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how it is to be what I've been through, 18 years old, talking shit. You know, a guy who's been in World War II. You don't know how it is being a teenager these days. You don't know what it is I've been through. My father, hold on, I should have known because his eyes were getting big. Shut up! You know what I'm saying? Shut up! Shut up! Finally, he just got up. I don't know how I didn't see it coming. That's how I was lost in my emotions. Because that hand cocked back.
All the way back to Korea.
Yeah. That shit went back to Vietnam. That hand went back to Vietnam, did a couple of tours, and then knocked the fuck out of me. And I pulled back, and as big and as manly as I thought I was, I pulled back like, oh.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
So I was like, oh, my God. And I even looked at him, I was like, well, I guess I was out of line. And my mother looked at me like, I can't help. Because I looked at my mother like, you going to let her do this to your baby? She's like, you should have shut the fuck up.
We were all doing this.
Yeah. My mother looked at me like, yeah, what you fucking get? That's my man. My mother loved her husband. I'll tell you that much. Talking about I was a baby. But she don't give a fuck with my dad. Yeah, it was a few times my dad did something to me. And she would defend me. I remember one time my dad just said something to me, and my mother went and told him, you ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do him like that no more. You don't talk to him like that no more. But let my father do some manly shit, like knock the fuck out of me. My mom got wet as fuck. She's like, oh, God. He still got it. Yeah. And my father even looked like around the room. Who else want to fuck with me? Dog be like, you know,
and now you repeat the cycle with Mojo.
Yeah. And now me is on me. She did me like that. I learned that from my dad. You're not going to do this to this dog. Well, that's what my father would do. Yeah, man. My father bought me. Look, he looked at me and he's like, he just gave up. He's like, he ain't going to be shit. He ain't going to be no athlete. You know, most of his life, he ain't going to be cool. He ain't going to be a soldier like me because ain't nobody fighting no fucking wars. And, you know, I'm just going to have to accept him for what he is. And my father, as much as he, again, did not want me around, he bought me all my art supplies.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that took me. I remember the time my dad finally gave up on me. I told him, I said he thought he was taking me to an art gallery or something, like to a museum or something, because he didn't understand. So I want to go see this animation stuff, and it was an anime convention.
Oh.
And at 15 years old, he went to this anime convention, took me
there. He went in there with you?
And he went in, he looked around, and he just shook his head. He didn't even try to pull me out.
I would do that now.
He looked at that shit, and I remember that's the night that because we shared a hotel room, and I swear to God, I heard my father crying. That's the only time I heard him being vulnerable.
I failed.
Yeah, man. But no matter what, he did what he had to do, and once I got past it, I could have been in that nerd shit, but he pushed me past that. He challenged me when I got older, and he did it in a way that was. It may seem cruel, but he told me, he's like, you ain't shit. You ain't going. You couldn't even make it into basic training. He pushed me to go into basic training.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, man.
It's true.
Oh, wow. I thought you were spinning this around the way like, but in the end, he was a hero. I'm like, oh, I don't know about this part right here.
Well, he was. Maybe kind of like an anti-Deadpool type hero. He told me something one day. I don't know how we got on to it, but he's like, boy, you wouldn't make it past what I've done. Couldn't even make it past basic training.
Oh, yeah. I'll show you.
Yeah, and it worked because he got my ass out the house that summer. I taught him.
I know a lot of guys who end up joining the military, especially the Army or Marines, just because somebody called and said they were too big of a pussy to do it. Or a guy who was qualified for Air Force but had a Marine recruiter saying, like, yeah, go ahead and join the pussy Air Force. But you can handle as a Marine. And he's like, oh, yeah? Well, just watch me. And then 2 years later, he's like, fuck, I got played.
Yeah, I think my father really just wanted me out the house. But my mother would tell you, like, my mother lies. She doesn't lie. She just makes
they
shit
have
up
selective
in her head.
Memories.
My mother would tell you that she pulled me out because I wanted to go to New York, so she took me to the recruiter's office and got me to the National Guard. Now, my father talked shit to me, and the next day after school, I went over there. I'll show him. You know, and I signed up and went. And Yeah, that's what I, and that's how I got into the military, you know, National Guard at least, because my father played me into doing it. But as I said, I'm probably a better person for that right now.
True. It gave you discipline.
Trying to see if I can call Mama Coleman right now before we move
on. She out in them streets, man.
That's why I'm calling on her cell phone. She trying to, she got a little sugar daddy
she
on.
She trying to find your new father. She auditioning.
Running them streets. Only 80-year-old woman out there in some hot pants. Let me see here. Man, my mom was fine as fuck back then, man. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Do you blame me?
Oh.
I'm fine.
Yes.
How you doing, baby?
All right.
Who is this?
Who is this, Oscar Reese?
Who?
Don't be playing like that. Oscar Reese. Who's this Oscar Reese? Sound like you have. That's a real person. You don't make up names like that.
Sound like a pimp's name.
Oscar Reese. You done pulled my leg. Who is this dude?
Baby, you don't want to know if he's hard of hearing, can't see.
Well, it sounded like he see you.
He was your daddy's friend.
Oh, was he?
Oh.
It sounded like you were just waiting for daddy to get out the picture.
Uh-huh.
I thought your daddy was coming back to visit me today. Been Father's Day. I said, oh, it's your dad.
I know. I just been talking about how, and let's just admit it, because I want everybody to know the truth.
Okay.
I was an accident. It was New Year's Eve that y'all conceived me, right?
Baby might have been. I think so. Yeah. I had a little bit too much drink that night. I think so.
That's a
good. I need to say you were an alcoholic at that time.
Well, caught up with me later.
It was your destiny.
It was my destiny. Now I know where I got it from. But I was talking about for Father's Day. I talked about how Daddy was always a good father, and he was always, and you know what, he always looked after me. Both y'all always got me art supplies. Y'all bought me stuff. You always encouraged me. But I always said that, you know, I know Daddy loved me and took care of me, but he didn't want me around. You know? Let's just admit it. I'll tell you.
Baby, anytime you're 48 years old and a new baby coming in, be prepared.
That's what I'm saying.
No, honey, I tell you, your daddy loved you. I tell you, because one thing he said after 10 years, you made him feel like a man again.
Really? Exactly. That's what I was telling Martin right here.
He was happy when I told him. I said, "Oh, Coleman, I think I'm pregnant." He said, "Oh no, you are pregnant, and that's good." He said, "It makes me feel like a man again."
That's not what I heard.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I heard different, but I heard that you were happy.
No, we were happy to have you. You were really a joy. Really, you were.
Really.
Really, because we were more prepared for you than we were Mark and Angela. Hell, we couldn't even buy a baby bed with Mark and Angela. But we were able to buy a brand new baby bed for you.
Oh, okay. Oh, see? So y'all have,
had money by that time.
I made y'all feel like y'all had money.
But no, made me feel like you were our first bond, because we didn't do for Mark and Anna like we did. I mean, we went all out for you.
No, don't tell Mark and Angela that.
You little spoiled brat. You little goddamn King Joffrey.
Yeah, I remember, like, don't tell Angie and Mark that, because I remember they got mad at me, because they said, you just got away with everything. They said Mama used to tie us up together and beat us with an extension cord. Is that true?
No, I didn't, but that's because I got tired of them arguing and fussing, and what it was, this is the thing what happened to Mark. They would always argue, if I flipped one first, I'll whip the other one second. They always said, like Mark would say, well, you hit me harder than you hit her. She said, you gave me more licks than you gave him. I said, look, there's a way to solve this. Pantyhose and tie the right arm together, and I gave both of them the whipping at the same time. I said, now.
That's a problem solving right there.
And
like Sidney Poitier and
Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis and the Defiant Ones. No, there was a movie called The Defiant Ones where Sidney Poitier was chained up to another guy.
I sure did. Because I got tired of being compared. Then they kept fighting. So I put them in the bathroom. You know how large the bathroom is.
Oh, yeah. That's good enough for a whooping.
You fight until he comes and get it out your system. Now you have ready to come out? No, 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 no. Are you the... No, we're not going to fight. It broke them up. I mean, I had peace. Your daddy was a Vietnam. I was trying to, you know, raise you all and everything and raise them, you know?
I know.
The thing of it is, I got tired of getting compared with everything. You gave them over. So, look, I have to solve this. But you were a joy, Mark. I mean, I'm telling you, Corey, after 10
Mark,
years,
I mean, Corey.
Well, you know. I know. And you know something? I might be exaggerating a little bit.
No.
It just, oh, well, you know your daddy had military. You know you were regimented a little bit now. You know.
Yeah. No, I know. I know. I know.
Because that was just in him, you know. But I'm surprised we didn't have Stan Rivoli after he retired.
No, I know. No, he was. No, y'all were some good parents, both of you. I'm just saying on Father's Day, I'm just remembering both y'all and how good y'all were to me. And my whole message was, and even though y'all were tired by that point, y'all still were good parents.
You're not kidding, but Corey, you were the best of our kids. I mean, the thing what I'm speaking of, you were not hard to potty train. You dropped a bottle at 6 months. I mean, you were a man child
well,
at 2 years old.
You know.
Were walking at 9 months.
What can I say?
You know. He's still a man child today.
It's kind of like I grew backwards.
Let me tell you about this. You remember when you were 7 years old and I carried you to the body shop over to JC's?
Yes.
You remember JC that cut your hair?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You remember that guy that was sitting there one morning? They asked you, what do you want to do when you grow up? You said, I'm going to be a gigolo.
7 years old, y'all. See, that's why I tell people, I always have a goal in life. You know?
That guy, I think he was an early walking king. He still asked me, Irma, where's that little jiggalo?
Yeah. Well, he's right here. Still jiggling and still lowing.
I love to have you. I mean, I wish that. I mean, you were a joy, really and truly. Even Reginald, you know, he was around you more than Willie and what's his name, Ronald.
Oh, yeah.
And to this day, Reginald loves being compared. The two of you being compared when it comes to your mannerism, you know.
Oh, yeah. Reginald's the artist in the family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He just loves that, you know.
Well, Mama.
And when I tell him that, he just goes crazy, you know.
Well, hey, you know what? I'm glad to hear this because I thought I caused y'all some pain growing up. I thought y'all were. Yeah, okay, but y'all were in the clear. Y'all were having a good time, and then here y'all come, and I'm just ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, Mom, I just want to let you know, even though Daddy's not here, I love him. Love you too. All right, the seventh. Yes. Yes.
Do I need to give you away?
Yes. Yes, you do. I want you to walk me down the aisle.
Well, I do really want to thank Merle for cutting the neighbor card for me.
Yeah, I'm her responsibility now.
Definitely, all the way, 100%.
All right. All right. She'll be on all day.
I love these stories you tell, and then you get the other person on the phone, and they get their side of it. It's like, huh, I feel like you were lying before.
I told you, my mother, she remembers things differently, you know. We didn't always get along like this. We didn't always have this relationship. I was not always her sweet baby. So, you know, don't think. Maybe somewhere in the middle, the truth is there.
Man, tying both the kids up and spanking them at the same time. Wish I had talked to her 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. And they hated me growing up, too.
Of course they did. Yeah, I can see. You got everything.
Yeah. No, I had. Well, you know, it was a trade-off. They were tired, so they made me cook for myself, clean for myself a lot. So I didn't bother.
Oh, yeah. Did they?
Yeah, it was. I had it.
It was rough, huh?
I had it hard, man. I had it hard coming up.
It's like 12 years a slave. It was.
But happy Father's Day to everybody out there, and thanks to everyone. Oh my God, Black Slender Man is it?
He is.
Come on in, man. Hey.
I was wondering who was knocking on the door.
Yeah, his long ass right there. Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, have a seat. Yeah, there you
go.
Good to see you, Alan. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you. Have a seat. We'll get with you in a little bit. You're just in time to talk about one of your favorite artists, man. Tupac. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
He's got a new movie.
Yeah, he's got a new movie. Dead and making albums and still making movies, too, man.
I hope I can do the same thing.
Y'all, we will. We'll still be making shows. Be dead. Still be sitting up here.
The lost show.
Yeah. How are they doing this?
They were all live. I don't understand.
How many shows did they record before they died? God damn. But Tupac Shakur, the man sold like 750 million, I think, albums. Martin, like, I don't know.
Tell me.
You know, the thing with Tupac is that some people consider him the greatest rapper ever. Some people say that the reason why he's considered to be the greatest rapper ever is because he was the one that was not only just going to be a rapper, not only going to be an artist, but he was also going to be, at some point, they say he was going to be a leader, an activist, that he was going to find himself at some point once he got all the drinking and the women out of the system.
Every time I hear that, I chuckle to myself. I'm like, really?
I'm sorry. It's 75 million albums that he sold by the time he was maybe a little bit past the time he was 25. But by the time he was 25, he considered to be the greatest artist alive, and was considered to be even though he hadn't fully grasped that responsibility, they also considered him somewhat of a black leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's always talking about, I'm reflecting the neighborhood and the poverty and the streets that nobody wants to talk about. He's one of the few people to come out and say, hey, you know, besides NWA, I'm the one reflecting what's happening in the streets and poor people, especially poor black people. And Leon Parrish Crooks is his real name. His name was changed to, I think it was a Chilean leader that it was changed to, who ironically was also assassinated at some point. But with this movie, they're talking about, all right, you know something? Besides all the things that are happening with Tupac, or that have happened with Tupac, and how much he accomplished by the time he was 25, where he was tragically killed at that, they say that, you know, this movie is a once in a lifetime thing. You got to get this right, because they went out and they cloned Tupac right there.
Wait, yeah, I was going to say, wait, which one is him?
I know, you can't really tell, can you?
I'm guessing it's the guy on the left.
No, it's actually the guy on the right. That the guy on the right is called Demetrius Shipp Jr.
No, I'm saying the real Tupac is the one on the left.
Oh yeah, the one on the left. Demetrius Shipp Jr. is the one on the right. That's the actor. And you're not gonna get an opportunity like this. It's gonna be once in a lifetime.
Right. So you got to get it right.
They cloned Tupac. They found that one mosquito that was trapped in Ember. Pull some Jurassic Park shit. Uh-huh. The one mosquito that still had his blood on his snout.
Uh-huh.
And they went out and created a clone Tupac, and they said, hey, you know something? We have to make this movie. There's no way in hell that this movie cannot be another Straight out of Compton.
Right.
Because this was meant to be. This is not casting. This is fate.
Fate.
How can you come out and mess this up? And there's a lot of people talking trash about the movie right now, and I stayed away from a lot of the criticism that's out there. Because one of the people that loved Tupac and said that Tupac had an impact on almost every artist. If you were coming up in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
Tupac had an influence on you. So a lot of people say, well, you know what, 50 Cent, he'd be the authority. And 50 Cent, he's like Donald Trump. He's quick to put out a tweet on Instagram or something if he don't like it. And he did not like this movie. Came out and said that this movie, and he brought up some points, and I didn't see this till afterwards, because like I said, I stayed away from a lot of the criticisms out there in the critics' reviews. But he said, right here, I'm a big Tupac fan, I just don't think that his story was done, and they said he deserved better. He said, check it out. The shit felt like I was watching a Lifetime TV movie in the theater. I wanted to change the channel. The New Edition story was better than this shit. And they're talking about the New Edition story.
Ouch.
Yeah, the New Edition story on BET.
Yeah.
And he even went on to say that, hey, look, don't think I'm just talking trash because I feel really close to this. He said, man, I saw some shit in the movie that just didn't make sense. He said, when you look at this Tupac movie, and let me see here. Oh, he says, yeah. He said, you look at this Tupac movie, and I know you want to say I'm hating, but there's a scene in it where Faith Evans and Tupac take a picture, and they have a fucking iPhone in it. I wasn't paying attention enough in the movie to know this, and I didn't want to go into the movie hating.
You know, you shouldn't. That's not our job to go in here.
No, and I didn't want to be influenced by anything.
Right.
So you know, I wanted to see for myself if this was as bad as people were saying. Not only just the critics, but the people who also love Tupac.
You must stand for something. Must live for something. and you must be willing to die for something.
Your stepdaddy is a revolutionary.
Your mama told me y'all been going through some things. Sometimes people need to step outside of who they are to realize what they can really be.
I mean, this is a brilliant opportunity to bring together the revolutionaries and the gang communities, and you can unite them.
You know, there's a... That's the thing that people are saying. You know, Tupac was such a complex man that they said, oh, this is going to probably be the next Malcolm X. No. No, they... 50 was right. This is a TV movie.
Well, and how many people from The Walking Dead are in this?
A couple. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But there's a... I hate to be the one to say it, and I'm not trying to echo just what everybody's saying out there just because I want to hate too. Hey, listen, I'm not a Tupac expert by any means, but I do know when you fucking up his story, and I don't care how many people out there, Tupac fans defending this movie, this is a, I'm not going to say shitty movie because it's not a horrible film. But it's damn sure disrespectful to what they did.
It's disrespectful.
I think it's disrespectful in the sense, like, and I'm not going to sit up here and say, like, look, it's not that they tried to be disrespectful. They didn't. It's just that they didn't capture the complexities of Tupac. And we should have known something was wrong when one particular director, because they've been trying to get this off the ground since 2011.
Yeah.
And there are directors out there who came and went, but the most important one was probably John Singleton. John Singleton worked with Tupac at one time. I think it was on Poetic Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And he considered not only Tupac someone that he directed one time, but he considered Tupac a friend. He considered Tupac somebody he was close to. And you can even see back in the day during the time that they were doing stuff together, how close they were.
It's me, John Singleton, my man Tupac Shakur. You go over to him now. And, you know, we're hosting the show for the day, so, you know.
He's like, I don't like that motherfucker.
I know. I don't even know him. Yeah.
John Singleton, fuck him. You know, but trust me, later on that video, they do things like they race each other and they clown around. They actually really, you know, they're very close people.
Yeah.
So when John Singleton says that not only is this movie going to be bad, but it's fucked up, then that's a warning. There were all kind of articles out there. Here's one where you could tell that the studio influence on this was going to be a little bit too much and they weren't going to make a good movie. He says, I didn't want to make it for many, many years. First of all, people wanted the story to be told, but I was so close to him. I was too close to tell the story of it. You have to remember, at first we had a working relationship and then a brotherhood. I saw the directors come on and something clicked in me saying, I wanted to do it. I told the company, if y'all motherfuckers want to do this, you got to get the fuck out my face and let me do this movie.
Yeah.
That's when they finally settled on a video director who's done some other things too, but the great Benny Boom, who went on to do this. Benny Boom, yeah. Which is appropriate because he blew an opportunity right after that. You know, no disrespect to his work. And I'm not even saying that, while I don't think that this is a movie that the production value or the direction is really worth an icon and a legend like Tupac. I mean no disrespect to the director here, because I think there are a lot of things that went wrong with this movie. And when I say it's disrespectful, I'm talking about the people who probably just want to put this out because they want to ride on the success of something like Straight Outta Compton.
Sure.
I think it's disrespectful from the studios to do this. And this is they got a lot of things right in here. This is a movie where it's more frustrating because of the potential that they had.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie with great casting in it. They have people in here that they cast that look just like their real life counterparts. If you know Tupac, then you know that he got his big break with Digital Underground, Shock G and Money B. And when they cast those guys, they look just like the real artist in there. I mean, granted that, you know, we don't spend a whole lot of time with them.
Yeah.
And they're mostly playing dress up. But hey, those little details, they're worth something. And the guy that plays Snoop Dogg don't look anything like Snoop Dogg. They tried. Looking like something about the Proud Family. But I'd be damned if he didn't sound just like him. There were even critics out there. who I have to say they're being unfair because he sounds so much like Snoop Dogg, but looks nothing like him. That they're saying, man, Snoop Dogg dubbed that shit.
Oh wow!
One critic even went as far as to say that, and he just made his decision. And the guy that would use Snoop Dogg's real voice and was dubbed over, it looked hilarious. No, bitch, this is the real guy. That's not, you know. I mean, this guy's doing the voice right here. This guy who's doing that is a guy named Jared Ellis who plays Snoop Dogg. Hey, look, not everybody. Snoop Dogg.
You don't have a clip?
No, there's a but I tried. But he sounds just like him. Believe me, the dude talking in the theater was sure to make everybody know. I'm gonna go to that dude later. It was a dude talking in the theater. He just like, shit, sounds just like him. know? Yeah, there was I'm gonna get to that in a little while. About even black people get tired of black people talking in theaters when when you pass a certain point.
Sure,
but. The besides the casting, the actors are good, man. This guy Demetrius Shipp Jr., I mean, besides looking like Tupac, he's doing the best that he can with the material. I mean, he embodies Tupac. A lot of people are saying that he's doing an impersonation only by the material, the weak material. Mm-hmm. But as far as being Tupac, there are times you think that is Tupac. And they got this girl that comes in called Kat Graham, and she plays Jada Pinkett. And Jada Pinkett and Tupac were friends in high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in fact, they didn't even have a romantic relationship. They were like, he considered her a true soulmate.
Yeah.
And when you see those scenes in the movie where they're talking, it's emotional. There are certain parts in the movie where when those two actors connect, you see, again, the potential that this movie could have had.
You will never fully understand how deeply my heart feels for you. I worry that we'll grow apart and I'll end up losing you. You bring me to climax without sex and you do it all with regal grace. You are my heart in human form, a friend I can never replace.
Right.
Hi. California,
yeah,
you're already going soft on me.
Oh, I'm going soft?
So soft.
You got the tears in your eyes. The tears flow, and I'm getting soft.
You know, Will Smith, like, you should have happened between
you
two.
I know. I was just thinking that. He's watching, like,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's like,
just friends.
Are you sure that motherfucker's still dead? You didn't get no calls or nothing, did you? You
know? Do I look stupid to you?
Yeah, I'm just asking. Like, damn, babe, I knew him before you. I don't give a fuck. Who you on the phone with? Is that Tupac?
Oh yeah, he dead.
Yeah. But if I died and you fuck me too, I am fucking you. But you know, the problem with the movie is that scenes like that where they should have some emotional weight, they're broken up because the movie's told in flashbacks. The beginning of the movie has him in prison talking to an interviewer.
Yeah.
And whenever you have these bits right here where they should flow into the next scene so you can feel the emotional resonance of them, they get broken up by going back to this interview or him narrating. Mm. And when they do that, the movie would have been better had it been a linear film. But probably not much better because, as I said, no disrespect to the director. I don't know if they're working with a certain budget. And they had a certain amount of time to get it done, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a lot of very heavy-handed studio interference with this. But it feels rushed. And a lot of these scenes, like that scene right there, a lot of these things are handheld. And the only reason why that one really worked that well is because there was no one else around.
Yeah.
But there are other scenes in here where it just has no atmosphere. And it's directed heavy-handed. Sometimes it's directed so heavy you can hear the director calling out the direction. Yeah. Like this scene right here when Tupac is a young boy, which that kid who plays Tupac as a young boy, they don't spend any time with him. He's pretty much a no personality in here, a no personality character. And they try to have this moment where, oh, this is the moment where he became a poet because this is the first time he got his first notebook. But feel how basic this is directed. Feel how static these shots are.
Mama. Thank you, Daddy.
You're welcome, baby.
That'll get you a lot further than a basketball. Hey.
Thanks, Mama.
Okay, you just just got the book now. Write in it. You know, act like you enjoy it. You know, there are so many scenes in there. Like that scene right there, that's the scene where they say, okay, you know what? You see the book. You see him writing.
Right.
We've established this. Let's move the fuck on. You know he likes to write. But there's never, again, there's never any weight on it because there is something that big happens that they don't spend a whole lot of time on it. But we never come back to feeling like that's a moment in his life that meant something. There's never this moment where he's by himself writing in this book here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see him later on. But that, you know, that's, they're making a big thing out of something that they treat like a non-issue. At least in my opinion right there. And there are scenes in here where they it's clumsy because they don't know how to direct the extras around them.
Like Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Like Diary of a, not that bad. They ain't one dude like he just woke up and fuck there. You know, if you want, we were talking about Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and that's the dude that pops up twice and they look like they drugged his ass and brought him out there. Fuck yeah, sure. I mean, I love this movie. But this, and here, no, it's just, they have these scenes where they could have some impact, especially with Tupac's mother in here, Afeni Shakur, played by Danai Gurira. Of course, she's Michonne on The Walking Dead. And those scenes are actually kind of powerful. I mean, again,
they, I figured if anybody in this was going to be good, it'd be her.
She is. But, you know, again, the script requires her to kind of be that trembling black mama. Oh. Boy, you've got to get your life together. You know, everything she says is big, and she's looking at Tupac all crazy. They are going to kill you, boy, if you don't get your shit together.
So they got the bunch together, and it just wasn't enough for Viola Davis.
No, he couldn't afford the snot. But here, if you look at this, they got extras that actually look like they're not supposed to even be in the scene. They have two people talking in the background. You got somebody who just stopped and just looked at what they're doing right into the camera.
I'm worried about
her. Ain't nothing to be worried about.
Like all black leaders, you have a bullseye on your back, and today it just got bigger.
But I ain't no black leader. Not yet.
And how you not a black leader?
Cut! You know, she looked like an actor, like an extra that came on, like, I'm going to show them my skills. And that is an actress, but that shot is just one time. That's not really an extra, but she's treated like that. It's just, that's one shot that meant nothing. It's just thrown in there to show, like, oh, people are listening heavy to your conversation. And then they move on. Now, she's the one that really stands out. I like the way they just stop. You get your ass on out the shot. Take it from the top. Shit. But they got these others in the background. This is a powerful scene right here. And they got people in the back just laughing, having a good time.
The vice president was just talking about you on the TV. Baby, you have to understand. With the Panthers, it wasn't that we had guns or black leather. It was because of our message. We were transforming minds. They are going to come after you with everything you love. They going to give you the tools that you need to destroy yourself.
Meanwhile, Uncle Leroy and Aunt Betty back there eating ribs, having a good time.
Acting like they don't hear this loud conversation going on right next to them. Now, I know she said when we were the Panthers, but it sounded like pandas. And it threw me off.
Yeah. You know what threw you off? Again, them Negroes playing dominoes in the background. You know, looking like, girl, she need to leave that boy alone.
Armor, leave that boy alone. He ain't listening to you.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things in here where it could be powerful. But they just don't know how to frame these shots. There's clumsy direction in here. They even got, talk about TV direction. They even got some scenes in there where, it's directed so badly. Being that they were, his mother was in the Panther Party. She's being spied on by the government.
Sure.
And they got a scene where I wish I had it. I wish I could show y'all this scene. There's a scene where she's walking down the street with little Tupac and his sister, and there's a guy in the background. What I mean by bad framing, they, you know, you can tell who the FBI agent is because while they're walking, there's one guy like one white dude in a sea of black people with shades on. And then when Tupac's mom looks back, he's like, Oh, look at this graffiti right here. And you even wonder why, because you wonder why she's being followed. Because when she confronts the guy, like, yeah, you black bitch, I was following. It's like, why?
Why hide it?
Why you even hide, man? There's another scene where they're out in front of Tupac's home, and they're talking to this drug dealer that's trying to supply for the family. You know, give, you know, they're not drugs, but he's trying to like bring groceries in for the family and whatnot. And they want to show you kind of the contradiction of a lot of these characters. And in this particular scene, it's so bad. He's talking to Tupac and he's telling him about, hey, man, you know, always respect your mother. No matter what she gets into, she's always your mother, because she has some problems too later.
Sure.
Drug problems and whatnot. And while he's talking to Tupac, right in front of them, this dude passes by. And the dude is talking to him like, hold on, man, look at this nigga here. And he goes over there and tackles the dude. No setup like a nice tracking shot across the street. We're like, hold on, Pac, hold on. And you get this following scene with him building up tension.
Yeah.
No, it's a dude who just walks by in front of the camera, you know, and then beats a guy up right there. Why? So that Tupac can see the violence and contradiction of his world. They don't try to have any sort of clever direction or atmosphere in this movie. And it's annoying. There's even actors and actresses in the movie who look like they're going to like add more to the film, and they don't. Maggie, what's her name?
Yeah, Lauren Graham.
Lauren Cohen.
Cohen, right.
Yeah. Who y'all know is Maggie from The Walking Dead. She has two lines in the movie.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, she got two lines in the movie. She's supposed to be this big influence on Tupac, the one that helped him with his poetry and got in the audition with, Digital Underground.
Uh-huh.
Once that's done, she's out.
Oh.
Unless there's another cut that's edited out there that I ain't seen. You know, the extended cut, which I don't need to see. There are times when the movie turns into a music video. They have parts where, now, it's one thing to like have a long sequence where Tupac is just, the actor is lip syncing to Tupac's music.
Right.
And there's a long scene taken up valuable storytelling time.
Or padding out the running time.
No. Actually, it should be as long as it is. There should be more stuff taken up to like tell the story. But there are parts in the movie where it's not this guy in a booth lip syncing to Tupac. It turns into a music video. They shoot it like a music video. The music's playing. They even got points where his mom lip syncs a line to the song. You know, these are moments where they should be telling story in this movie. Because what happens is that later on in the film, when you have something happens where they drop the narration and they drop the interview. Because they keep coming back to this interview that he's doing. And once they drop that interview, you're thinking, okay, cool. It's a weird thing to drop it right here since you set it up.
Yeah.
But the interview, it ends when he gets out of jail and starts working for Death Row Records.
Okay.
And at that point, you're thinking, all right, I don't think it's going to be a great movie at this point because they've already gone too late. But at least we'll get less interference. And it'll be more of a linear story. No, they know that they got a supervillain in here, Suge Knight.
Oh,
Suge Knight, who's played by a guy named Dominic L. Santana.
How's this dude? Because with the glasses on, he looks even more like Suge Knight than the last guy.
That's the thing. You look at him right here; he's got some real nice eyes, man. You know what I'm saying? Like real kind eyes. But he puts those shades on, Black Kingpin. You know, he takes them off, and it's kind of like, oh, you don't look so bad,
right?
Because there's times that he's beating people up in the movie, and it's just like, nah, I'm not buying it, man. You look too nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's at this point where we should be entering Tupac's his most complex phase. This is the point where we should be talking about the guy that contradicted himself so much.
Sure.
And not really. This is part of the movie where it's Suge Knight's movie.
Mm.
It turns into a black gangster film where Suge Knight is actually doing Goodfellas type shit, or he's doing shit that they did in The Untouchables. They're all having dinner around a table. He goes up and starts, you know, beating up on people. And the whole time, Tupac is not even a big part of it. He's just an observer. He just watches Suge Knight beat people up and then sits back and just laughs about it. And this is a fatal mistake for this movie because it's at this point where this is where we saw that Tupac was being torn between two different things. He wanted to be something different, and he wanted to actually, and he was in the middle of changing, but because he was so wrapped up in his lifestyle and under the influence of such a, you know, a dangerous and crazy and charismatic guy like Suge Knight, that should have been the balance. But no, they want to make a hood movie at this point, like a 90s hood film. And it's too bad because they capture later on in the film that complexity of Tupac for a moment, especially when he's confronted again by Jada Pinkett. And I'm thinking, all right, you know something, at least we're getting something interesting right here. At least this is something that is trying to touch on the Tupac that they should be telling you about. This is where he gets confronted by Jada at a club after a show, after he's become the Tupac that everybody knows. She's like, nah, nigga, I know you.
It's happened to you.
What happened to me? I got shot 5 times. That's what happened to me. What happened to you? You used to be damn.
It's stupid. And it's dangerous.
It's dangerous getting shot, too.
The man I knew wanted to use his voice to educate. To bring people together.
If he coming at me, he gonna get dealt with.
So can't nobody tell you nothing, huh? Huh?
Not about this.
And then Jada Pinkett came out and said, that shit never happened. And I'm just like, well, I can't catch a break with this thing.
But, you know, movies do that all the time. They have those scenes that didn't really happen. They're like, yeah, but wouldn't it be great if they did? Or we need some way to sum up, because they probably had several conversations that led to that. And it's like, we don't have time for that.
She's like, but no, that never happened. We never argued about that shit. I never came backstage to a show like that. There's an article out there where she's saying that. And I get it, too. Martin is right. They do this with biopics all the time.
Sure.
Where something is exaggerated or they have to change something for dramatic effect. They have to consolidate characters. But you ain't got people out there calling the shit on it like this. Especially when you got something like that's the one thing you're like, this is kind of good. No, that shit is bullshit. It never happened. I'm like, well, okay. I tried.
I told him to stick up for himself.
You know, this is, and it's funny because somebody put up a tweet. They said, you know, how many times is Will Smith going to be looking at Jada like this? Whenever she brings up Jada, whenever she brings up Tupac.
It's funny. I was just looking at Jada on Gotham right before I came here, and that actress, she's got it down.
Yeah, that actress is very good, man. Like I said, that actress, her name is, let me see right here.
She could use a little more sass, but for the most part, she's got it.
No, that actress is great. And even Jada Smith, Kat Graham is her name, and even Jada Smith said, you know what, Demetra Shipp and her, they much love to them. They did a great job. Just what you're in is bullshit, you know. It's, you know, and she, hey, if anybody gets to call it, it's her. She gets she was very close with Tupac. The thing with this is that this had a vibe that it could have taken advantage of, and it didn't. That's what I mean by there's so much potential here, because there's so much in here about Tupac coming from a background of, you know, a heritage of black activism. You know, his mother, his stepfather, even his father being Big Panthers to the point that where they are, you know, wanted by the FBI. Mm-hmm. His godmother's still over in Cuba for killing a patrol officer, a security guard or something. You know, with this. And also Tupac was, you know, by the time that he was during his final days in his life, he was a wise man, just trapped up in a young man's world. You know, he had all this excess and all this that every desire could be filled easily. And you know, this is something where that is what should have been explored. That guy that was trying to change near the end of his life and never had the chance because he was just ahead of his time. He achieved success too early. You know, he gained wisdom too early, and it really made him feel bad because he was so wise beyond his years that people, they put so much responsibility on him. Mm-hmm. It kind of broke him in a way. You know, people were looking at him to be a leader when he didn't want to be.
Yeah.
And that's, none of that is really, those small details are never really explored at the end of this movie. If you really, this, and I, you know, I stand by this when I say it. this movie could have been the next Malcolm X. Spike Lee's movie?
Sure, but that's a pretty lofty goal there. I think you're going to be the next Malcolm X.
No, because this is, I'm not saying it has to be Malcolm X, but it had the elements there if they had the right storytelling and direction to do it.
What's your name?
Malcolm Little.
No, that's the name of the slave masters who own your family. You don't even know who you are. Who are you?
Say Roseland. Roseland.
Now you can already see how much style this movie is directed with, and it's a period piece too. But I'm not saying that this movie should aspire to be Malcolm X, and Malcolm X was a totally different person. But this movie, you're dealing with an epic figure, and it should have had an epic treatment, and it doesn't. This shit is a TV movie. And if some people out there feel like that they got what they wanted, because look, I'm not a Tupac expert. There are people out there who know way more about Tupac than I ever would. You know, once he died, I was kind of done. There were people still buying CDs and shit, and I was just like, I can't keep up no more, man. The Negro's gone. I can't keep up no more.
Well, I'm disappointed to hear you say this, because as you just compared Tupac to Malcolm X, I don't see that comparison. I would love it if there was a movie that showed me how you can equate those two.
Well, you're asking me to compare him to the man Malcolm X. I'm talking about the movie. And because a lot of people believe, like, he wouldn't have been Malcolm X. That's a lofty thing to aspire to anyway. But his story had a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
A man, you know, about this man who was slowly going on to change from something, from one thing to another thing, to be, you know, to actually being a wise person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they should have captured here. But instead, at the end, it man, this shit turns into one of those black gangster movies that they release on DVD.
Like the kind that Tupac was in back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some shit like he was in, and that's what they really, and that's what they push. And I, you know, to me, that's a missed opportunity. On a sinful level. And the production in this is so bad. That, but $60 million. I know that ain't big, but.
But isn't that the same? Didn't it have the same budget as. What am I saying? Thank you.
Straight Outta Compton. I'm not sure, but I know Straight Outta Compton, to look as fake as some of this shit. With $60 million, you could have afforded to shoot in a real hotel room. Not a set where you got this fake background back there.
Okay, I'm glad you show that clip. So you got the actor who played Biggie in Notorious, and he's playing the same character again.
Yeah, exactly.
How is he here?
Shit, the same thing he was in the same movie in the last movie. He's Biggie.
I mean, because the fact that you could play, you know, as an actor, you could play this character in multiple movies makes me wonder if this Demetrius Shipp will get to play Tupac again in some other biopic.
No, they fucked that up. Yeah. They're gonna get that hologram out before they get in. They will not.
I mean, everybody seems to think he was good.
No. And like you asked, I mean, yeah, the same dude from the last movie. What, I mean, how many times can he, how many different ways can he play Biggie? You know?
Let me try this again. Baby, baby. No, hold on. Baby, baby. Oh, baby, baby.
Oh, fuck, man. Come on. You know, shit, there's only one way to play him. And the movie just looks bad. They have a lot of scenes.
I mean, that looks real bad right there.
That's some shit from the Adam West Batman right there.
Yeah. I was thinking about like a Zack Snyder Batman. But yeah, it has that green screen effect.
It's not a green screen. It's a plastic. It's a cardboard background.
It's a matte painting. Yeah, it looks like a matte cardboard.
I'm just like, wow. That's what I mean by disrespect. On so many levels, you get one of the greatest, not the greatest rapper ever. Not to consider be just a great rapper, but an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give him this bargain basement treatment right here. I should give this some more bullshit, but there's a lot in here that I say, you know what? To the respect of these actors here, a lot of these people that tried their best to bring the vision and thought that they were probably doing something bigger, it's them that I actually am not going as far as to give this a bullshit. I would give this a rental, but I'm talking about a low rental, man.
Damn.
A low rental. It's almost an embarrassment. And for those people who really, because I know some, I read some reviews where people are like, well, I got my Tupac movie. I'm sorry if you didn't get yours. Well, I'm fucking sorry if you want a cheap ass Tupac then. Sorry if my tastes are a little bit, my standards are a little higher. I don't know what to tell you. No disrespect to you, but fuck you. I want a better movie. It's not even a matter that about being Tupac. It's just not a very good movie, man.
I want to read the good reviews because I've only seen bad things.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother. You're not getting it here. I don't know what to tell you. Sorry if people out there getting their feelings hurt behind it. How about requesting a better fucking film? Hey, how the Sharks, man?
They didn't piss me off like that.
They had the Tupac of shark movies out there. It didn't upset you? Nah, people. Hey, go see it if you want. I'd wait for video, though. But Martin, real quick, you saw that movie, 47
Meters Down.
This is a movie where you have Mandy Moore back at it again. And who's she acting with?
Carrie Holt plays her sister. Mm-hmm. She's an actress from the Vampire Diaries. Matter of fact, everybody except Mandy Moore in this movie is from either the Vampire Diaries or Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah. This is a movie that was actually released back in 2014.
Was it really?
It was released on video back in 2014.
Oh, because I know they said they originally slated it for video, but then after what the Shallows did so good last mm-hmm. year, right? Like a year ago?
They didn't release it fully, but there are some people who got early copies of it.
Uh-huh.
And it had a different name. I forgot what it was, something below. But since you're right, the last movie,
The Shallows.
The Shallows did so well. This is something that they say, well, shit, you know, Sharknado, I mean, hell.
Right. Hey, sharks are in. They're the new dinosaurs.
Yeah, people going to accept something as stupid as sharks in a tornado. Yeah, we got to release this shit right here. And they're also saying that, but this is not silly. It's not.
Right.
It's nothing that's stupid. And it's not a ripoff of something that just came out before. No, we were making something that we didn't know that they were making that shark movie over there. We were just doing our thing.
But once they made it and made some money, we figured like, eh, why not?
Oh, yeah. And so a lot of people are wondering, well, hey, you know, with a movie that was supposed to be released to DVD and now it's getting this big screen release here. Does it live up to it? Or are they just trying to make a quick buck? I'm going to go ahead and show the trailer, Martin, if that's okay with you. And then we'll come back, Martin, with not my review, but yours.
It's going to be the best vacation ever.
Seriously, you have to try.
I don't even know how to dive.
Totally safe.
Okay. Dad.
It's like you're going to the zoo, except you're in the cage.
I don't know about this.
Welcome aboard.
There, look. It's huge.
Remember, the faster you breathe, the faster you use up your air. Trust me, once you're down there, you're not going to want to come back up.
This is amazing. It kind of takes your breath away. Oh, my God.
Like the biggest shark.
You take a picture of me?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I love that scene. That's why I was like, fuck your camera. It's my camera now, punk.
Shit, took a selfie in my colon, bitch.
Whoa, whoa.
I'd like to come back up now.
I'm bringing you back up.
Oh, my God. I'm so scared.
We need to conserve our air.
How deep are we?
47 meters.
7 meters down.
Man, these sharks suck. How many times they almost bite these chicks
and
missed every time?
Well,
I mean, this is a point you just give up, you know?
There's some things going on.
Okay, yeah. Let me see here. Let me cut them down a little bit. So, as I said, I did not see this. Martin is the one that took his Sunday afternoon and go see Shark Week. And sharks are the big thing right now, Martin.
Yeah.
Everybody loves a good shark movie.
Making a comeback. And Shark Week is always big.
And with this, like I said, the only thing that seems silly is that all these close calls. I mean, a shark, if a shark wants to eat your ass, he's going to eat it, you know?
Well, I mean, there's some advantages. The fact that the sharks can't see all that well, and usually the patterns that humans make by splashing around is something that makes a shark go like, yeah, I don't know about that. That's not a seal.
Yeah, yeah. And as we saw, you know, again, I love the setup. A couple of girls doing white people shit. You
know? There is that to it. And it's I'm at the point where I'm like, yeah, I'm tired of making that joke. But you can't avoid it here.
Do you see a black person going in that cage right there? Well, even the natives on there. Did you see all the brown people there? Like, yeah, you get in that cage. I'm not.
Well, it's, you know, it's two white girls in Mexico trying to get their freak on because Mandy Moore, she's been in this long-term relationship and she just got dumped. And Claire Holt is her younger sister who's always a go-getter. And they're like, come on, girl, I'll take you down to Mexico. You know, fuck that dude. And then, hey, we'll meet some new hot guys. And they talk them into going on this boat. On like, you know, one of these expeditions where you go see sharks in a cage. And Mandy Moore is very timid. She's like, she's the first one to get there like, I don't know about this. This is nuts. Sharks, I don't want
to
do this.
How the hell she get talked into this then?
Yeah, there were so many chances for her to back out, or for them to back out. But it's just like, come on, girl, stop being like that. Look, these guys say it's safe. Look at this boat. It's not an official boat. They said don't go on just random boats. And he's like, it's going to be fine. Look, it's Matthew Modine. He's white. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And again, he's the one fucking with the sharks more than anybody on that island. Like, sure. The three white people who were there are the ones just fucking with sharks. Everybody else is like, I ain't doing that.
Well, they get him out in the water, and the two Mexican guys, they go down first. They go down. They come back up. They're like, yeah, it's cool. Oh, when you get down there, you're not going to want to come back. It's awesome. Now, here's the rules. Just got to check your tank for oxygen. Okay, you're only going to go down 5 meters, look around, and then after a while, when you get your oxygen gets to 50, we'll bring you back up. And they get down there, and they're like, oh, this is awesome. And almost immediately, the whole winch just breaks off the boat, and they sink to the bottom.
And that's where we get the movie we have
right,
here.
Right.
You know, kind of a disaster type thing. Going
yeah. On. Now, the thing is, when you think about, like, what do you want to see? Because they bill it as a horror movie, but it's really a thriller because there's nothing supernatural about it at all.
Pete, you know what? I shouldn't even be asking questions about these sharks missing these chicks because it's PG-13. So I know I'm not going to get a whole lot of blood. I know I'm not going to
get blood. You just don't see like actual viscera.
So I don't see a leg floating in the water or a human head still breathing and shit. Yeah,
you don't get anything like that. But outside of the gore, what do you need to make a horror movie or a thriller work for you?
Scares.
Right. And what else?
God damn, I don't know. I'm just
sorry. You need characters that you like
really, care about.
That you care about, you attach yourself to. And one of the biggest problems with this movie, and like I keep reading things that says, this movie has no depth. And I'm like, ha, ha, ha. But it is true. Like, outside of what I just told you about those two girls,
yeah.
You don't really know that much about them. And Mandy Moore, she is constantly going,
oh yeah,
and honestly, that's a natural human reaction to just panic. But when you're watching people in a movie, nobody wants to see that. So when you've been told, hey, you need to keep your breathing deep, and she's going, you're like, God damn, girl, I know you're scared, but come on, you're not helping the situation.
Yeah, that's the thing that bothers me with the movie without having seen it. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I'm already really not into it because you crying underwater, you sitting up here screaming, terrified. You voluntarily put yourself in a cage with sharks. What the fuck you think was going to happen?
Right, right.
Why do you want to go on vacation and that's part of your attraction right there?
You already have that plan in your head.
Swim with the dolphins, not the sharks.
Because you go like, what would lead me to be in this situation? Because a lot of what makes a horror movie or a thriller work is your empathy with, okay, that could be me. And as you watch this, there's just no part in your brain that goes, yeah, that could be me. You're like, hell no, that wouldn't be me. Because when they get in those waters, it's not like, oh, you see one or two sharks. That's about eight sharks constantly swimming around that area. It's like they're in shark territory. Like the sharks from West Side Story. And when they drop to the bottom, they are stuck. And they tell them, you know, you guys are 47 meters down. And the thing is, I've read from several people that, okay, if you actually were to go that low, you need such a different mix of oxygen and gases mm-hmm. that oxygen that would have lasted you an hour is only going to last 5 minutes.
But they probably expect people to, like, you know, suspend.
Sure, people like me who go like, in and like, don't know that. I read it after the fact.
Yeah. We, you know, you and I don't go scuba diving.
Right.
I will say, though, while I'm saying that it looks like it's not attracting me, because I don't know, seeing a PG-13 shark movie, I can't see that on TV. You know, I can't see that on Shark Week.
Yes.
But I was impressed by looking at one particular thing here. Not only the sharks, which I imagine are a bunch of CG sharks, right?
They do a good job with them.
That's what it looks like. It looks like the sharks are doing a good job.
They don't look fake.
Okay.
The only thing that's fakish about them is that there's so many in one area.
And so many in one area. And there was one particular scene that I was looking at, and I said, you know something? It looks like they know how to build up suspense. Now, whether they do it, I don't know, because I didn't see it. You did. But I was looking at this one scene where sharks are around, and they depend on that one cage to keep them safe, and that cage ain't really holding.
I thought I was going to get me. I said.
Dang, you weren't lying. Is she making words?
That's just the beginning. She really is.
So I was thinking, like, man, that's a scene that's kind of getting to me. And it's a movie where I would appreciate it if they are not depending on gore, because when you say thrills, I mean, it seems like it's just meant to work off the fear of sharks that people have.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing a shark is scary enough.
Yeah, that they're giant great whites. There's a lot of them. They're very aggressive. They've already chummed the water, so there's a reason for them to be around like that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, once you get past the fact that, you know, you don't have that much of an investment in the characters, beyond that, the setup for it is good. Just from the perspective that they're in, because you're like, there is no easy way out of this, and they can't even make a break for it and swim up, because if you do that, you come up too fast, you'll get the bends. Matthew Modine is telling them, like, listen, stay in the cage, that's the safest place. If you kind of try to come straight up, you'll get oxygen in your brain and you'll die. You'll have to stop somewhere for 5 minutes.
So what works in the movie?
Well, like I said, the setup for it is what works. I mean, the characters themselves, they don't work, because all they got between them is like, well, you know, I could never compete with you. And other sisters are like, compete? It's not even about that. But just you're trying to figure out how can they get out of this. And all you can think is, man, they're just fucked. They're waiting for the Mexican Coast Guard to show up. And the guy's like,
oxygen is running out.
Oxygen's running out. They're trapped in a cage. There's an anchor. Well, the winch fell on top where the door is, so they can't even climb out easily. They got to figure out how to do that. And those sharks are swimming around. And I would say there is a lot of tension in this for the first half of it.
Okay.
There just comes a point after a while when there's too many near misses with the sharks. There's a time when they do something that's kind of dumb. And after a while, you're just kind of like, yeah, I just don't think y'all going to make it. There's something that happens, and I don't want to give it away, but a lot of things you see that come later that are kind of silly are based around that. And it's not so crazy silly. It's just slightly so. I want to say silly. It's just something that it strains your disbelief, where you kind of start going like, all right, come on, that's a bit much.
Well, you made it sound like the tension is there.
Yeah.
You made it sound like the setup is there, especially with being so low in the water. Mm-hmm. That is a very good setup where the oxygen is running out. Mm. You're actually selling the movie more than you're
hey,
not.
Hey, man, it was sold to me, because I was told about it before I went. That's why I was like, you know what? I should check this out.
But did
you
like it, though? I mean, what's your rating for?
My rating is a high rental. I mean, it could not escape into a matinee. Once it was all said and done, I was like, I could have watched this at home. And if I had Netflix, that I'd have been like, okay, that was cool. But ultimately, when it was said and done, I felt kind of empty, and I'm like, I'm going to forget this movie.
Okay. All right. So it probably is something that was better suited to DVD than they planned before.
Yeah. No, whoever first said this is DVD, they had it on the money.
Okay. All right, then. Well, hey, I'm not going to lie. It looked like that kind of quality. Now, let's go ahead and get, boy, I'm dizzy as fuck, but I'm going to try to get through this. I'm serious.
You spent all your energy talking about Tupac.
Tupac, man. That thing got me stirred up, man.
Because you went on a long time. I was like, man, our reviews are never this long.
Yeah, no, nah, they are.
Only when it's four of us.
No. Well, it's Tupac, man. I got a lot to say about Tupac. Disrespecting Pac like that. But
what's he going
to
do?
Nothing. He's dead.
Exactly.
What anybody says. I don't want to get into something that's going to bring everybody down. I just feel like if I didn't, I wouldn't be doing myself a service. I feel disappointed in myself if I didn't bring it up. And I'm not going to dwell on it too long. I'm just going to bring up some things that don't make sense. And I don't think that anybody can make any excuses for this anymore. I mean, all these cameras that we have out here, and everybody's thinking, oh, this is going to change things for the better. Apparently not. All these body cameras that these cops have, yeah, keep them on. Keep them on all day, because apparently it doesn't mean shit. Now, we've all heard of the Philando Castile shooting. Happened July, almost a year ago, July 6th of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in Minnesota. And you had the victim here, Philando Castile. And he was riding with his girlfriend, Diamond. I think her name is Diamond Reynolds. And they had her 4-year-old daughter in the car. And while she was driving, she got pulled over by a cop named Geronimo Yanez. And it was for, it's not like a busted tail light, busted signal light or something. What happened with that, though, since there was a gun involved with the passenger who didn't pull it out, warned the cop that he was going to pull it out. Well, because he had a weapon on him, the whole thing ended in tragedy. And I don't want to show this too long, and it is, they say graphic. It's not completely graphic, but it is hard to watch. So I don't want to, if you don't want to see this, then feel free to turn away or turn this off or come back or whatever. I'll leave or whatever. I'm not going to try to play it too long, but it's important that everybody see this for a particular reason.
Stay with me. We got pulled over for a busted tail light in the back. And the police just, he's covered. They killed my boyfriend. He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket. And he let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet.
Now, they didn't get that part where he was reaching. So nobody really knows what happened with that, but there's a, so people want to say, well, that's, you got something there that can be argued. Here's the thing. His girlfriend, Diamond, as you heard, said he was reaching for his license,
mm-hmm,
and told the cop,
yeah,
that he had a weapon on him. And I think there's a part of the video, we don't have it here because it's a long video, but I think he even mentioned that he was reaching for his license, not his weapon. That's why he told him he had a weapon. The officer, Geronimo Yanez, there he is right there. Let me see, there he is right there. He said that the reason why this occurred is because he had to shoot. I'm looking at an article right here where they said the officer who killed Philando Castile tells the court he didn't have a choice. He said, I was scared to death. I thought I was going to die. My family popped into my head, my wife, my baby girl. I was forced to engage Mr. Castile. I did not want to shoot Mr. Castile. Those are not my intentions. So why'd you fucking shoot then? And his whole thing is that there was another report where he said, well, he was reaching for his weapon. And we don't have that part right there. Maybe there is a part out there, but why would he reach for his weapon when there's a cop right there? Philando Castile, he's a gainfully employed 30-something-year-old man at the time when he was killed. He worked for elementary school in Minnesota. And he was pulled over probably about 52 times, I think, for traffic violations.
Yeah.
Not a violent record. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Not a violent record at all. Why would a man who has no violent record, who's pulled over for a stop that's not even a routine stop, and he's not even driving, why would he have a need to pull out his weapon on a cop?
Yeah, if it was just for a taillight and he wasn't the one driving, he'd have no reason.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't understand. Already, that, to me, I don't know how a jury can look at evidence like that and decide that there was a reason for this officer to pull out his weapon and shoot this man.
Well, especially if he was licensed to carry it, what's the point in having a license if you're going to get shot for having it anyway?
Especially when you told the officer ahead of time,
yeah,
that was the case. That his mother is, she's making these points. She's like, what I'm saying, you can listen to her. Besides her, and this is Valerie Castillo, besides her being his mother, she just brings up common sense points that I just made.
My son would never jeopardize anyone else's life by trying to pull a gun on an officer and the gun was not fire ready. These are some of the facts that came out in the trial, and I am so very, 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 very disappointed in the system here in the state of Minnesota, because nowhere in the world do you die from being honest and telling the truth. Now, these are some things that you need to know and recognize. There has always been a systemic problem in the state of Minnesota, and me thinking with my common sense that we would get justice in this case, but nevertheless, it never seems to fail us. The system continues to fail black people.
Now, I wrote to something real quick on Facebook, and a lot of people understood where I was coming from. Of course, I get some people who are like, why don't you quit trying to make this a black issue? and they also went on to say, well, if you feel so heavily about it, they actually said, why don't you do some law and order shit and go out there and become a lawyer and try and change things? I like, really? Really? So I got to become a lawyer for somebody to do their fucking job. Mm-hmm. How about they do their job, act sensibly, and don't shoot people? And a pattern in a history of shooting black people. Here's the thing. There's been such a history of this that people have seen it, and they said the only reason why we can't do anything about it is because we don't have evidence. There's always been those cases where we heard about it, we read about it, seen it, we've been part of it, harassed by it, affected by it in one way or another. We know somebody who's been into it. And this is something that has happened, as his mother said, systematically for generations. And all of a sudden we think, well, it's right there on camera. We can see everything. Yeah,
now we got it on camera.
Now we got it on camera. And as far as I'm concerned, that jury, that judge, and that system, they spit in the face of these people. They spit in the face of that mother. They spit in the face of that girlfriend. They spit in the face of that dead man that was shot probably because this person, and I'll say it, and nobody wants to say it because everybody wants to be like, well, you don't know. Let's be fair. You have a man who has no violent tendencies, told a cop he had a gun, was ready to pull out his registration and let him know that he wasn't doing that. And the moment he did it, he shot. And you can't tell me it's because he had dreadlocks and he was black and probably to this guy looked like a danger.
Plus, Geronimo Yanez, he yelled the magic words that they always yell. I was scared.
Yeah,
I feared for my life. And it's almost like I was on base. Like, the minute they say that, it's like, oh, well, we can excuse anything you did because you were scared.
Yeah, you
you had a gun, you had the drop on him, but you were scared.
And this whole thing about, and I would even have sympathy for the guy if I didn't feel like he was lying,
mm-hmm.
because that's what cops do when this happens. They got to watch their ass, they got to save their ass, and they lie and try to make it seem like it's the victim that was the one that was a threat. Somebody just got caught for that 2 years ago, and it was on camera. And there was absolutely for this guy. This happened in South Carolina. For this guy to actually probably get justice, they had to see him getting shot.
Right.
You had to see the bullets going into his ass.
Have your license, please.
Get on the ground.
Put your hands behind your back. What did I do, son?
Are you hit?
I think so. I can't feel my leg. I don't know what happened. I just grabbed my leg.
Brakes on A66. I need 1052.
He called
like,
her.
Are you hurt? It's like, yeah, man, yeah. If I'm not hurt, you are the worst
shot
in the world.
Did you see how many bullets you put in my ass right now? Am I hurt? Goddamn right on her. I'm not bulletproof.
You know, I was just playing, right?
The guy went back into his car and that guy panicked. And then, and after it was done, he even lied about that. I got the article right here where the guy, so he said here, and he says in a statement, and the officer's name, last name was Gruber. He said after the shooting, he said that he observed Jones taking an aggressive stance, which means I was just scared, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's even right here where you can see Gruber's lawyer offered a few details, though he said the trooper was shot at and he returned fire.
Wow.
That would have been you. How the fuck can you say that after seeing that right there? And I probably didn't think that they had that much video, because I can tell you, if that video wasn't taken and they decided to say, if this video wasn't here, well, they were pumping lead into this dude right here several times. Not once. Mm-hmm. You know, dude just reached for it. Like, he's already back.
And yeah, he's already back.
And the dude still popping on him. You know, imagine if that wasn't there, if that video wasn't there. And that lawyer said, well, he shot back or he fired. If they didn't even find the gun, they would have made one.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as this video right here of Castile getting shot, even if without having the part where we saw him pulling out his gun, you can see everything clearly. She's Facebook streaming this live, by the way, at the time. Hollywood couldn't have lit this shit any better. I mean, it's got production on it. I don't know what else you need to see. I don't understand why people can't see these things and just once try to understand where we're coming from with this. You got fucking evidence right now. You know what I mean? The evidence is there. If you don't buy into this, if you don't see it, then you're just stupid or you're an asshole. Because it's clear as fucking day right there.
Well, look, we said it back before there were camera phones, and everybody said, oh, no, I'm sure it wasn't that way. I didn't expect it to change all that much once there were phones and evidence, because at least back when before there was, there should have been people saying, well, maybe, but there was never that maybe. It was always like, no, I'm sure the cop was right.
Yeah, exactly.
So now they got evidence and go like, well, now they can come down to maybe.
Yeah, you get these juries where they think that this cop was just doing his duty. He was doing, you know, this.
Well, they have a hard job. You understand?
Yeah, he was trying to serve. You know, exactly. It's a hard job. I mean, how would you react? I probably wouldn't be shooting people. And if I did, I would probably expect because this guy, there's so many charges they could have brought him in on.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was a 4-year-old girl in the car, reckless endangerment.
Oh, yeah.
Could have been one of them, but none of that happened. None of that happened. Say what you will about it. Say, you have your beliefs. You say what you want to say. You go ahead and criticize all you want to. But I don't think that after seeing this, and the reason why this is such a big deal is because the cop was acquitted of all charges.
Yep.
Nothing. Not one thing. You know, I swear to God, he could have jaywalked over that fucking car.
I read something that said he was fired from that department, but he can just go work for another one.
Yeah, you know.
Where he can get back to what he does best, killing people.
Yeah, you know, say what you will about any of this, but don't ask us why we don't trust cops.
Right.
Don't ask us why Black Lives Matter exist. You know?
All lives matter. Apparently not.
No. You know, I'm not trying to make light of this, because the last time I talked about this, I broke out in tears, man. I mean, don't ask us why we don't trust the judicial system. I mean, I think there's enough evidence for you to see that. You can sit up there and be racist all you want to, but be that. Just don't treat me like I'm stupid, and don't treat yourself like you're stupid. Just say, yeah, I'm happy they're shooting black people because I don't like them. Say that. But don't play stupid. Don't look at me when there's evidence right there. Some people want to say, well, you know, Cosby got acquitted. But Cosby got money.
Yeah, that was a mistrial.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a mistrial. Yeah, you know, OJ got off. Hey, look, they got money. And I think that says something about the judicial system, too.
And a lot of OJ getting off had to do with what happened right before that, which was Rodney King, the Rodney King verdict.
Yeah, even though I don't excuse OJ. But OJ had money. Cosby got money. I said something about the system itself. When the only time you can get off is when you have money.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just not something that's just for a certain type of people. That goes for anybody mm-hmm. who has money. I mean, it's a day over in England. They losing their goddamn minds, you know, because of that tower burned down. It was a bunch of poor people in there. And they saying right now, if it wasn't poor people in there, they would have if it was a bunch of rich people, then they would have done something. But it wouldn't have such a faulty structure. And we should be like them. They're mad about it. They storming buildings and shit right now.
With the asshole climbing protesters banging on the doors, desperately trying to force their way in.
Shit turned to a goddamn zombie movie. You know, maybe we should be protesting a lot of things. There's a lot of people all over the world who are not getting the justice they deserve just because of the color that they are the economic category that they
sure.
I'm, you know, I just sorry, I didn't mean to bring things down, but like I said, I thought
it, it's for a sure, lot to swallow.
I thought for sure something would have got he would have got something. Like I said, reckless endangerment at least, you know, but he got nothing. That goes to show you. With the cameras there and everything, it really does say we don't give a fuck.
No,
I mean that's no. There's really no other way to put mm-hmm. it. You know, next time you shoot somebody, just say that. Yeah, you know what? I don't give a fuck about you. I'm gonna get off anyway. Maybe, you know, it depends on the area.
Well, plus if for the cops now, if they're even the least bit scared, they might as well open fire because what's the worst that could happen to them?
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not in the mood for this shit anyway. Like I said, I'm sick. I've been sitting up here with my snot dripping out my nose, and I've been trying to hold it back for so long. Y'all just
get it out. Do a good one. Blow that trumpet.
Sorry, give
us a Louis Armstrong.
Oh fuck! I mean, there's been like one big little strain of snot that's just been hanging on to the bottom of my nostril right here for the longest time. I've been trying, people. I've been trying. I'm going home and going to bed after this. Wow. I'm surprised I was able to stay this long. But before we go, we're gonna get
back after you get a drink.
What's that? Alcohol does help, right? That kills germs, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Sterilizes.
Back in the Civil War. That's the use for antiseptic. And anesthetic
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, man. I am so dizzy. My hands are actually kind of numb just for a little bit. I'm serious. I don't know what's going on with me.
Broseph. You got me worried.
I'm worried too. I was feeling so bad last night. I was thinking about writing notes to people saying, just in case I go, I love you
oh,
all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was one of those things like animals when they crawl off and die.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I felt like, man. Felt like I should just go outside and find a bush and just lay on it for the night.
That's how I felt when I got off that plane. My fingers were numb.
See? Come on up, man. We got Carl here. Carl, come on up, Carl.
Fuck you, hipsters.
Carl, Carl, our resident hipster,
want
right in. I want him next to you. I don't want his hipster ass over here. Look at this.
Aww. Fuck you, hipsters.
Look at this dog.
Fuck you, hipsters. Shave that shitty beard, you trendy fucking slob.
Oh, you. Let me see you right here, man. You. Look at this dog you got over here. People, we got Carl here. Carl.
It's great to be back.
Yeah,
let me see, Carl. That 47 meters down, that looked like a complete exercise in pain.
How so?
Move over a little bit. Move over, Carl. Move over a little bit.
Yeah, get close to the mic.
Nothing about that film whatsoever.
I like the way Carl comes in here all the time. He never listens about that mic. I've been telling
know,
the mic right there. Put it in front of you. Every time he comes in, we tell him. He just does not listen.
Right.
Why is your dog dressed like Gru from Despicable Me? He's got the dog in a black turtleneck. Some German expressionism shit going on.
It's the temperature. If it's not 80 degrees, he's cold.
It is cold in here today.
I told you this yesterday.
That dog actually has, they are dressed alike. You got this dog in a black turtleneck right now. And how's Rue doing?
Excellent.
Oh, he Italian Greyhound.
Excellent Italian Greyhound.
I went over to his place yesterday because Mia wanted to have a play date.
It was great to have you guys over finally with the hounds. Good times.
They had a great. You can't call them dogs. He always like he texts me. He says, "Please bring the hounds over." I'm like, "They're fucking dogs, man." Went over there. The dog had loafers on his. I hadn't seen Carl's place in a long time. Carl really is that guy, you know, that hipster dude, like, but that old school hipster, you know, that
sure.
That because I went over to his place and they don't have like a dinner table. If you eat at their place, you actually have to sit down Japanese style and eat at a table off the floor.
I was gonna make a joke about that, but it turns out it's true.
And he's got that $5,000 toilet.
Oh, did you sit on the $5,000 toilet?
I couldn't work up a shit, and I tried.
Oh no,
I tried. I really did. What happened was though, I went there. And he's and
before you didn't lift the bottom lid.
Well, you told me did everything.
I know. I should have told you about the little button on
that lid. I went in there and Carl said, "Don't worry about it. The toilet does everything." And so,
and I was thinking, except that thing.
You better be glad I didn't take a shit because I stared at the toilet for about 5 minutes. I said, "You gonna flush this or what? You do everything. I ain't doing it." I would have sat there and waited for that toilet to wipe my ass. Yeah. That toilet, you paid $5,000
for. No, I didn't pay that much for that Toto.
How much?
I don't know how much we paid. It's that thing is 4 years old. I think you can get them now. Entry like a 3.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's well, that's a bargain.
That's why I didn't step in. I'm like, just wait.
He got it set up at his house to where he can't just serve you a bottle of Topo Chico. He's got the fizzy water running out of his faucet.
Really?
No, it's the little thing you make it, just on your own. It's like homemade
soda stream.
Soda stream. Okay. But he just can't give. He has to make it himself.
Okay.
He's like, it's my Topo Chico. How you doing, Carl?
Great. Great to be back. It's been since October, November.
Yeah,
it's
been a long time. In the old studio, I think.
Yeah.
We were in
the old studio. Yeah. And how does it? What have you been up to, man?
I mean,
because every time you come in, you do a different recommendation of a restaurant for Martin over here.
Yeah. Okay. I've been, just doing the Air Force stuff at work, ACC Rio Grande just shut, so we're now at Eastview mm-hmm. campus. I'm kind of working in a massive hospital. It's really kind of intimidating, but it's fun.
He told me that they have digital dummies where they have, like controllers to where you can make them move, you can make them bleed.
I've heard it's really
amazing the medical kind of education community, with everything is kind of robotics, mm-hmm. And just how these students are taught these days, it's really amazing. I mean, you would never believe some of the stuff I see in some of these labs. It's really, really amazing. It's cool stuff.
That's nice. So, have you eaten any more like $10 pieces of toast with sprinkles on it?
Yeah, last time you introduced us to fairy bread. What new have you discovered?
I've been going, doing the regular toast stuff. It's been kind of crazy sort of seeing the different options around Austin that have been exploding. And I do think about you a lot. It's like what you have run into.
And the shitty food that you eat.
The past 6 months.
Because he always comes in and rubs it in his face.
And I was,
why are you eating that? You can never sit down with Carl either because Carl will ask you what you've been doing. And he always has to one-up you on shit.
No.
I went, yeah, you don't know you do this, but you do. We went over to his place like, what have you been up to? And he just waits too. He just lets you finish. It's like, well, I've been doing my show and I'm getting married and next month, I hope you'll be there. I went to Dallas and Houston, just some small things. And he's like, that's good. I went to Alaska and I saw a tundra tunnel. I got to see about 5 centuries of history just simply driving. You motherfucker.
But Houston, Dallas, it's about the same.
But Dallas, that's cool.
It is. I mean, the breweries out in Alaska are really amazing. And we were talking about, just the summer in Alaska where the sun really doesn't go down until 2 in the morning. And when it goes down, it just kind of goes across the horizon and goes right back up.
Damn.
And you're walking out of these brew pubs.
And it's still light
at 11:12 midnight, and it's like noon.
Yeah.
It's very surreal. And people are just having an amazing time,
Shit that you don't do, Martin. Shit you haven't seen.
On all these tables outside and everything, hundreds of people, and it's like an afternoon lunch. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's great.
You should.
It's really,
and he tells
very
you,
surreal.
You should see it sometime. Like, you can just get up and go today. Oh, no. It's beautiful. You really should go.
And just the different options with the brew pub, it kind of reminded me of Austin a lot.
Okay. So,
fuck you looking at, bro. Yeah. Dog look like Dracula. You know, the dog is nice, though. I like it. And it was nice hanging out with you yesterday. It really was. I had a good time.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Where's Sammy at?
Right here.
Oh, Sammy, come on up, man. Sammy, like, it's my turn. Oh, Sammy, how you doing?
I get the flu, sweet.
Oh, man. I didn't
breathe next to you and shit.
I didn't breathe on that right there.
You're right here. You're right.
Oh. Have you met Carl?
Yes, I met Carl.
Yes.
Yeah, he was. I had the fairy bread. And it was delightful.
Yeah,
thank you.
It was good times, good stuff.
When'd y'all do that?
When he brought it in the last time.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
Yeah, I thought about bringing something in, but I just couldn't get it together.
Let's see here. I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and get into. And let me see here. I don't know if. You can be seen. Yeah, I'll move over for you just a little bit. Come on up. Misery loves company. Let's get some good flu I got.
You know, Corey and I were talking about food podcasts, and I'd like to see you in a food podcast one day.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, when you review shitty food that you eat.
Different restaurants.
Various Taco Bell menu items.
You are sort of the John Hine of double toasted.
No, I'm not.
Yes, actually, this is what it's like to eat lunch. This is what it's like to eat lunch
with
Carl.
I mostly cook at home. I rarely go into... okay, never mind.
Really?
This argument with you all the time.
Yeah. This is what it's like to eat lunch or hang out with Carl. Carl just brings up random shit like that.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he takes you someplace. He's like... Now, they don't have French fries here or onion rings. I'm sure you'll manage somehow.
I love the chat. Right now, the chat is saying that dog wants to hang himself.
Oh, it was like $5,000, right?
Yeah, how much you pay for Rue?
No, I got. He was like a grand.
Okay.
But yeah, I had to go to Florida to get him.
Yeah. So you add in the travel.
Yeah. Some total cost.
Yeah.
When he got that dog, he actually treated like he was adopting an Asian child.
Yeah, it's like Angelina Jolie going to pick up some kids from Cambodia.
Yeah. You know, I'm just flying to Florida. And the funny thing, he's like, I'm not going anywhere with the airport. I'm going to meet my new child. And I'm just like, come on, man. It's a dog, man. Oh, look at him.
Oh, you made him sad. It's not just a dog. Oh, look. Come on.
I'm sorry.
He said, I'm just a dog.
I'm sorry.
I'm a real boy.
Nosferatu. All right. We're going to go ahead and get into the top five real quick. And then we're going to make a couple of calls, and then we'll be out of here. And let me see. Sammy, see if you brought up your notes for the top five. And let me go ahead and get into. I'm just doing this quick because I am sick, people. I'm gonna go ahead and get out of here. I am so out of it right now. Just need to get out of here. But I want to give you a full show. So let's go ahead and get to the top five real quick. And just remember, because you're in the top five, you're not always on top. And let's start out with number five. I actually saw this at number four earlier this weekend, but it got moved down in a matter of 24 hours. Do you know what it is, Martin?
Ooh, I was thinking it was 47 meters.
It is 47 meters down. The weekend gross on that is $11 million.
What the budget is?
There was no budget. I couldn't find it. I dug. But they did spend $30 million on PR alone.
Oh,
so because they took out ads in the NBA Finals. Wow. Because someone had the rights to it. Then they sold the Weinstein brothers had the rights to it or bought the rights. And they didn't say how much they paid for it. At the same time, they spent that much just to kind of get it out there.
Okay.
And any other notes you can add to that, sir?
About expected. $10 million was about how much they thought it was going to get no matter what. They're calling it a B-movie for the summer, but
most
people are like, it's all right. Like, not really excited about it, you know?
Yeah, it's not terrible. It's not even bad, but it's not good either.
Yeah, and for $11 million, and especially for a movie that, I tell you what, this had, even though it looks cheap, it had better production than I thought it would have for the budget that it has, $11 million. And this was something that they were going to put out on video, so I'm sure they're not even cutting a loss on this. They are very happy to have what they have here. Let's go ahead and get into the number four movie, sir.
I'm not sure. I think it's Captain Underpants.
Yo, you were wrong, sir. It is The Mummy.
Yep.
$13.9 million for a total gross of $56 million. and that's after 2 weeks, and that's on a budget of $125 million. Now, that's a heavy-ass flop here in the States, but worldwide is doing very well, and that is –
as I imagine.
Domestic doesn't count, does not count anymore.
Yeah, they don't care about the States.
Right now they make movies. So for international, for those of you who thought that this was not going to kick off the Dark Universe, that they were going to cancel the whole thing.
Wrong.
You were wrong. They're moving forward. And the thing about it is that they can actually make something if they make a better movie with the next film, which they say is going to be Bride of Frankenstein. So he said it can still be salvaged for domestic, but even if not, this is something they can keep doing for sure. The rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Closing on $300 million worldwide, and it's still the number one movie all around the world right now.
Now, can they get Tom Cruise back?
It's his most profitable movie outside of the States. International release, yes. So.
I was told the only reason they made this picture was that they were losing the rights to the Universal Monsters.
That happens.
They were either going to have to make this film to keep the rights to these monsters, or those rights would have gone to other studios.
Wow, I don't know why, because that seems to be their property. Why would they lose it?
Shit runs out.
The amount of time it was actually coming to that point where, you know, it's either now or you're like actually going to lose the rights.
Yeah, 60 years or something like that. So, I think from the older ones.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's why this whole project was rushed and they just kind of threw it together.
And why not do it in a way where they can actually,
in
a way, since they say that we were the original, launch it as a universe.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into the number three movie, Martin.
All Eyes on Me?
Yes, it is.
I already knew that, though.
I'm surprised with this because it was number two when I checked on it earlier, but it went down to number three here, $27 million, and that's on a $45 million budget. Now, they could get that back very easily if the movie goes strong, but there's not a whole lot of good word of mouth behind it.
Not at all.
Not at all. So
it was his 46th birthday this last Friday when it released.
He was 46?
Yeah, he was going to turn to 46 had he not get shot, of course. And so people were like, everyone on the West Coast, I got to go support Tupac, got to go support. It kind of sucks, though, but it's a Tupac movie. What can you do? And so, you know.
Yeah. You know, people who went to see the movie, it looks like they enjoyed it, got an A- cinema score. And I went to the movie yesterday, and I went around 8 o'clock, and it was sold out. They had one seat left for me. And when I say the audiences were into it, they were into it. There was one guy. Look, we like to say that if you go see a black movie with an all-black audience, a mostly black audience, you know what you're getting into. But even black people got mad at one dude.
Damn.
There was one dude in the theater who was just yelling at everything. And, I mean, giving details that nobody else wanted to hear. There's a part in the movie where Tupac, he's approached by Suge Knight. And Suge Knight's like, well, you want to leave my company, but you got to look at this right here. You got expenses. And the dude like, fuck yeah, you got expenses. You got production.
Oh, my God.
You got cars. You got recording. I mean, this dude is yelling all this out. Oh. And after the movie was done, black people who looked like they would be talking to the whole movie were talking about that dude. They were like, man, that motherfuckers couldn't shut up.
You see how that feels?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think I want to talk anymore after that. That was a plant. Yeah. That was a plant right there.
He was yelling. Like, whenever a new character would come on, oh, that's Snoop! Snoopy! Snoop Snoop! Oh, here comes Suge. Oh, shit. Man, I hate that motherfucker. I was like, wow, man. But you could tell everybody was scared to say something to that dude. Because either he was going to cause a bigger scene, or if that dude is going to talk that loud in the movie, that's a dude that got nothing to lose. Right. You know, he'll probably beat your ass. He's so ignorant.
Possibly.
Yeah.
A barking dog doesn't bite.
Yeah, and it's just one thing after another with this guy. When he got up to he must have been drunk because he got up four times. And the four times that he got up, he had about 50 keys on one chain, and every time
he had to go back to his job as a night watchman.
Yeah. and he had that kind of walk where he made them make noise. Oh, like, God damn it.
Is he sneaking in between the shift to go to this movie, or
and
what?
Then there was one time he came back, and I shit you not, people, he came back, and he actually said, "What I miss?" I was like, wow, man, that you don't even have to say that out loud like that. Yeah, people. Alamo, I said, I cannot do this.
The old
again.
Corey I knew would not have tolerated that.
No, the old Corey sat there, old Corey being 45, sat there and shut his ass off. Because the thing is, nobody was saying anything in the theater. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, like, okay, you know what? Everybody's okay with this. It wasn't until I got out that everybody was like, God damn that dude. So I, you know, had I known, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that is Alamo Drafthouse, man. Say what you will. Say what you will about the food, about the prices of it, about the quality of it. But I wish I could have told somebody to kick this motherfucker out.
When I went to see 47 Meters today at a non-Alamo Drafthouse theater, it's like 8 people in there, and 2 of them were a couple who were talking loud through the whole movie. With the wife doing that. So what's she going to do now? They're trying to swim back up there. It's like, Jesus.
That must have been an old person.
No,
because I can't win. Because I'll go
old.
either
in their late 30s or early 40s.
Okay, because
yeah.
I try to go in the morning when nobody's.
They were Mexican.
Thank you for putting that out there.
Hey man, entirely... you put your finger when he was telling his story. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, no man, they. Ooh, Mexican. Yeah, everybody got their time. Mexicans got theirs. Of course, black people got theirs. I try to go see movies in the morning sometime, and. No matter what movie I go see, there's always some old person.
That's when old people take over.
They talking.
they have shifts.
That's interesting.
Old people in the morning, Mexicans in the afternoon, black people at night.
Yeah. If an old person is by themselves, the worst it's going to get is they're going to open that package. But if it's
butterscotch,
Werther's originals.
But if it's if they're a couple, forget about it, man.
Oh yeah,
and they don't. And old people go see everything. I'm sitting in fucking Resident Evil, man.
It is stereotypically the wife asking questions and the husband answering, and just never going. Just watch.
Is that a zombie or a monster?
Just wait. They're going to show you in a second.
I don't know. This is my first time seeing it, too.
I guess I feel pretty fortunate. I usually go to the Bullock IMAX, you know, just because it's
the most expensive theater. Yes,
no.
You're right.
Military's $11.
Oh, well.
$11.
And there you go, Corey.
There's but never
it's
a problem
not the most
in there.
Expensive. It's the most exclusive.
It's I've never had anyone talk during a film.
But there. You would be going there anyway.
Yeah, but still, I'm pretty amazed that it's you know really quiet in there, and I had never had a problem.
The theater's like 700,000 square feet. You can't hear a person if they're a mile away. It's a big ass screen,
and
sound doesn't travel that far.
Before we get to number two, can I just say that again? Carl can just not do what people do.
Well, yeah.
So Carl cannot go buy a 4K television like anybody else. I went there and on the roof. Nailed to the ceiling. He's like, this is my 4K projector. And he has not one, but 2 screens to capture certain aspect ratios.
Jesus Christ. Is that a real thing?
Yeah. He's like, you know, I have this one that captures 233 and this one captures 16:8.
235.
235.
Jesus Christ.
See Corey stop lying.
Yeah. Telling stories. Come on, man.
Yeah. I was like, man, just buy a goddamn 4K television set, man.
Corey, you know me for, what, 25 years? And you know I've had projectors all that time. So.
I know. And then you make other people take them. I bought a couch from him. He made me take a projector. And he didn't need to sell it. I'm not giving you this unless you take a projector. I mean,
I to find out
the resolution is so beautiful. I take the fucking thing here. I threw that shit in the trash. No, I gave it to the Alamo. To the Alamo Draft.
Here's the Alamo Draft
now. I gave it to Opal Devines. That's what we watched.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to the number two movie. By the way, the people that are saying that this movie, despite the reviews, as you can see, a lot of people were anticipating this film, and it made a good sizable chunk of money on its opening weekend. And that's especially good for this budget right here. And I said $60 million. They said a budget of $45 million. It felt like 45. $45 million for a Tupac movie. That is an insult. Anyway, let's go ahead and go to the number two movie.
Now the world is ready for you.
And the wonders you possess. I don't know the words that shit. Wonder Woman.
And the wonders.
No, that actually is a lyric.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, $40.7 million for total gross.
Dog is too much.
That's a cat daddy's dog.
Cat doggy. Damn, aren't they? They found a dog that looks just like you.
Off. That's perfect.
$40.7 million is what it brought in this weekend for a total gross of $274 million. That's after 3 weeks, and that's on a budget of $149. This is probably the most successful film that DC has had because of the critical, the critical success behind it. Put a renewed faith in DC right now. And a lot of people are also saying that, you know, not only is this a good DC movie, but it deserves every bit of money that it received because it's just a good superhero film.
Right. Didn't it cross a 500 some 90?
Yeah, million? No, it's 570 million 70, across the board, just about.
Only dropped 30% this third weekend.
Wow.
And they say that the only thing to perform better in that aspect is The Dark Knight as far as the DC film goes. And it opened $67 million less than Suicide Squad, but it has out-earned that film after 17 days.
Good.
Academy Award winning Suicide Squad.
Academy Award winning.
Apparently, the tours like in that studio, they're starting to reference that now. Like, exclusively.
Of course.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Of course, I can understand why people are mad. I say it's just for makeup, but people saying, but you still have to use Suicide Squad and Academy.
That's
Award
on the box.
That's
on the DVD, the Blu-ray, right there. Academy Award winning.
They say that this movie has made on an international level $570 million and has no signs of slowing down. All right, let's go ahead and get into the number one film this weekend. Oh, Martin, I told you people felt...
Of course.
I told you people felt the plight of Lightning McQueen, man.
Let's buy this bullshit one more time.
53.
Curse 3.
Oh, and here's... Okay, so even though... Now, they're touting this as, this is the movie that beat Wonder Woman, but it opened kind of low, man.
Are they really?
Yeah, they are saying that the one that toppled Wonder Woman. And this brought in $53.5 million. That's on a $175 million budget. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true.
Wow. That is a bad opening for this movie right here.
Was Mr. Potato or Tomato in it? What's the mate?
That's a totally different
tomato.
That's a
potato, Mr. Potato.
No,
that's
no.
What you're thinking.
Isn't there a tomato car or something?
Oh, no. Tomator. Yeah,
Tomator.
Yeah, he's a tow truck.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It was close. It was ballpark.
No, he tried to bail out. I heard him say, "Is Mr. Tomato in this?" And then he tried to pull back. No, Carl, wrong franchise. Like, oh no, but there is a Tomator in here. No, man, you fucked up. You fucked up. That damn dog fucked up. That dog is like that. My dog like my daddy.
I knew the answer.
That's a well-behaved
Mr.
dog,
Tomato.
Man.
It's
a
well-behaved Mr. Tomato.
Yeah.
Tomato.
Man, so they say that.
The car.
They say that this movie, it did release way lower than expectations.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they said that, you know, cars. Well, you go ahead.
So the main thing about this is that they don't need this actual movie to make any money because since 2011 they have received over $10 billion in merchandising with these three movies and planes and everything else. So this pretty much prints money in terms of toys.
Okay. Right.
So if they just put another one out there, kids will say, oh, I like cars, dad buy me cars, and then they do that. And so then they make millions and millions of dollars. They use that money to open up Radiator Springs in California, the whole, you know, Cars world.
Yes.
Because it sells so much stuff, so.
Okay.
Yeah. They don't care. They don't care what this movie will do. It's going to make them money.
Okay, so this really is a goddamn commercial.
This is Transformers of the modern age. Yes.
Thing is, no, that doesn't change me from liking the things that I do like about it. I'm surprised that they actually put that much effort into it if all they're doing is trying to make money off of it. But it does show why very clearly what those other two movies were. which were just cash grabs. They were commercials.
Yeah.
First one was probably because John Lasseter really did enjoy cars.
Sure.
But if it was so personal that it didn't reflect on the screen. I'm looking at the notes right here, and they say that this is, if adjusted for inflation, it's the smallest openings to, over or under A Good Dinosaur. Or they said, no, The Good Dinosaur is the only one to have opened with less money. This is the next one above that. And this is getting good reviews, or decent reviews. People aren't hating it like they hated on the other two Cars movies. So
people didn't hate the first one.
No, they didn't. We did, you know, but a lot of people weren't too hard on it. Everybody really hates that second one.
Yeah, that's universally clothed.
And I think that shows you how much parents and adults attach themselves to a Pixar property.
Yeah.
Because after Cars 2, which is considered to be just a disaster on so many levels, probably not financially, but it's one of the most hated Pixar movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think right here is showing you that, yeah, a lot of adults are staying away.
Sure.
You know, so.
Well, they don't have that fond memory of like, hey, remember when we saw Cars? It's like, oh, yeah, I remember going to see that. Oh,
yeah,
no.
Exactly.
My kid just keep playing the DVD over and over again. God damn it. I'm done with Cars.
And people, this is a surprise to me because this had a cast, at least two or three people in there that I thought would pull it in. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Rough Weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, shit. Yeah, man. $8 million. And that's even on a low budget of $20 million. It's funny because you had what they considered to be star power with what's her name?
Scarlett Johansson.
And Kate McKinnon has been selling movies lately.
Yeah, Kate McKinnon. But I will say that
Zoe
Kravitz is not really selling movies exactly. And the girl from Broad City, she's not a big name yet.
Sure. I didn't know who she
Ileana
was.
Ileana Glazer, I think.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people really associate Scarlett Johansson with comedy. And that's just a hard sell to put her in a movie where you're selling a comedy and she's the biggest face in there.
It's funny because when they make a list of the very few actors who can sell a movie, Scarlett Johansson has been on that list, but now she's got two bombs in a row.
Oh yeah, the anime thing,
Ghost in the Shell. Yeah.
And they say even with the low expectations, this had expectations of $10 to $13 million.
Sure.
They couldn't even reach that. And it doesn't help that it just had, there was no interest. Critics that saw it, they have given this bad word of mouth. And also the audiences just don't care.
I was reading reviews that were just kind of like mid-range. Like people weren't hating it. They like the lowest reviews were hitting on the All Eyes on Me. But this and the Shark movie were just kind of like okay.
Actually, the Shark movie got way better tomato ratings than this. Wow. This is right there with All Eyes on Me, 24%.
Oh, damn.
So,
oh, wait. Maybe I got it confused with something.
Yeah. What did you guys think of Ghost in the Shell?
I didn't really hate it until the end of the movie. And even then, I was just kind of like, ah, whatever, man. It's not a great movie. Oh, let's see. Let's
kind of pointless.
It is. I got some people that I want to call real quick. Because I told you, I'm looking to actually do more calls on the show. And this is from
Ian. Oh,
what? Oh, shit.
I'm sorry. I meant to mention this when you were talking about Father's Day, but you moved on too quickly. Quick shout out to our friend Carlos, fan Carlos, who we met in California.
Oh, yeah.
We met the very pregnant wife.
Yeah.
She had the baby. It's a little girl.
Little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, congratulations. Mark can tell you all about that. Are you you know what?
I wasn't there for it.
But you have little girls yourself. Not so little anymore.
Anymore.
Y'all probably, if you watch the show, there was a dude that comes through, Kennard. And I remember when Gwenny, the daughter that you brought in here, she had it for Kennard, man.
Yeah.
And I saw them talking the other day. Did you feel like you wanted to come up and tell Kennard back the fuck up, man?
No.
You didn't?
No. No, he's a good kid. I'm not worried about him.
Would you be cool if he dated your daughter?
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, you know,
plus I got that blackmail on him.
Oh yeah. That's just out there. I don't think even that's blackmail. Everybody saw that. We got him drunk one night because he asked. And
I guess it is out there. No, he's a good kid.
Has Gwenny started dating yet that you know of?
Not really. I mean, you know what? She'll like a guy, and then the minute that guy's interested, she's like, nah, I don't know.
Yeah. Or is that what you want to believe?
I mean, that's what she tells me.
You know. That's the only thing.
We talk a lot. we're very candid with each other. So if she was dating, she could talk to me about it.
Okay. Aww. Look at you, man.
A modern day Huxtable.
I know.
I don't say that.
Just like I used to talk to you about anything.
You still can, Corey.
I still can. You give me shit about it, but I still can. This is Ian Ramsey. Ian Ramsey said he has a Father's Day story. He says, in celebration of Father's Day, have y'all ever done anything so crazy with your dad that it was memorable? Trying to think. He says, my dad wasn't so great, so happy Father's Day.
Not no stories that wouldn't depress you.
Hello?
Ian Ramsey.
Hey, what's up, Corey?
Oh, man, I'm just calling you up, wanting to hear your crazy Father's Day story. You said that you, I don't know if you have one, you just said that you want to know what some of our crazy Father's Day stories, but I don't know if that's insinuating that you have one, too.
No, I do. I mean, he was a deadbeat, but, I mean, he was a fun deadbeat.
Okay. What'd you say?
His name is Martin, right? I said, hey, Martin.
Oh, hey. Sorry. Hey, Ian.
So how can you do that? How can you be a fun deadbeat?
Well, I mean, he was a fun guy, which is irresponsible, and he was kind of simple. Made simple mistakes that led to even bigger problems.
Your dad fucked with your mind, because nothing is funny about this shit. You know what? I tell you one thing that my dad did to me, because my dad would always pull some mind games on me. My dad, and maybe this is why I'm scared about killing animals now or anything, because my dad, he told me to kill a spider. There was a spider in the house one day. Mm. I didn't really want to kill it anyway, but he made me do it. He went over there and said, boy, you see that spider over there? What you going to do? You just going to look at it? And I went over, I said, you know what you want me to do? Like, what do you think I want you to do with it? I went ahead and picked up something, went over there and killed the spider. And then I come back, and he says, now, boy, you just took a life. How you feel about this? I'm like, you motherfucker, man. Yeah, he was always doing these mind games with me, man.
That's messed up.
It is messed up. It really is. I don't know why he would do shit like that. He wasn't abusive or anything, but every now and then he would just come in and do things like that. I know you have stories with your dad, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was raised by two different dads. I was adopted when I was young, and then later I went to live with my biological family. So a lot of the stories, when I talk about my dad, like the second dad, that's the dad that's Denzel Washington and what you call it, Fences.
And Fences, yeah.
And Robert De Niro, and that's this boy's life. Wow, what story could I tell you that wouldn't just bring the whole thing down? I don't know, because just hanging out with my brother last weekend, we were talking about things. A lot of those stories I just like put behind me, and he started bringing them up. And I was like, okay, so I do have somebody to corroborate that all this happens.
Yeah.
Because as my dad's, you know, he's older, he's got dementia. And he's just like a shell of himself. And then everybody's like, oh, well, he's just so quiet and sweet. I'm like, ooh, you just don't know.
Yeah.
You just can't even imagine what he was like back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, my dad and I had a crazy relationship. We had like an extended Sanford and Son thing going on where, you know, it didn't stop at you big dummy. It ended with wipe my ass. And you know, I told you, that's the last thing I did with my dad.
Oh, right.
Yeah, my dad, I went to see my dad in the hospital, and
wait, was it wipe my ass, you big dummy?
No, no, the dummy part was insinuated. Wipe my ass was put out there. And he told me, he said, my dad got mad about something, because he was so upset, because like your dad, mm-hmm. you know, my dad had dementia, and he couldn't take care of himself, and he had a lot of pride about that. So when he told you, he wanted to be changed, and he wanted to be changed right then. And he, you know, he kind of got back to like he was in the days when we were working together trying to do things.
Oh, yeah.
Like, boy, pick me up and wipe my behind. You know, and I was like, all right. You know, I tried to lift him up. And I, one of the things with my dad is there were certain times he was proud of me, and there were certain days that, you know, boy, you can't do nothing right. And that dad's like, you can't wipe her ass, right? You know, he didn't say that, but he was getting really frustrated with me trying to do this. And a nurse even came in and told me, they said, you're not supposed to be doing this. And they said, yeah, you know, and he knows this.
Oh. He He had to get the last laugh.
Yeah. You know, I don't think it was meant that way, but it was like, yeah, you know, I want to be changed now. I don't want to wait on these goddamn nurses. You're going to do this.
You're my son.
Yeah.
You have to do this.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I say goodbye to my dad, say love you, Dad. You know, I'll see you next time. But that was the last time. I always tell people, whatever your last, always cherish, especially when your parents are up there, always cherish what could be the last time, because that is the last time my dad, you know, trying to wipe his ass when he's frustrated in an old folks
home. I feel like the time, if you could have stopped at the time before that and had that be your last time, that would have been better.
What time was before that?
When you weren't wiping his ass. Yeah. Whatever you saw him before the last time when you wiped his ass.
Well, that escalated real quick. I went to go see him. It was like 2 minutes. It was 2 minutes of talking, change the TV to the football game. I need to be changed. Pick me up, change me. And so, yeah, you know, we didn't have deep discussions anymore.
Yeah.
He had dementia so bad that one time I went there and he's like, yeah, boy, I see you just like everybody else. Couldn't help but get them gold teeth, could you? I was like, what fucking gold teeth are you talking about?
Oh.
I said, I ain't got the brightest teeth in the world, but come on. I'm not no thug life up in here. So, hey, yeah, you got a crazy story before?
My dad was very much the movie dad, where like during middle school, high school, he was working all day.
Yeah.
And there was a certain point in high school where he lived in a different city for Monday through Friday working, so I never saw him. So me and him, we never really did stuff together.
He was probably mean to his other family.
Huh? Oh, no, he's the older brother of the other family, so he's mean to them. But
no, I mean the secret family he had while he was gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's messed up. But no, yeah, me and him, we spent a lot of time together, but we don't have any crazy stories, but me and him are just very close because we spent so much time together before school because my school was like a magnet school, smart kid school. So my brother and sister, we dropped them off at 8 o'clock, and me and him would have an hour every day to just, you know, talk or hang out, listen to the radio, and go to Home Depot or whatever, and you know, just look at the tools or whatever. And no, me and him were cool, but we never actually did anything, me and him together. It was everybody. It was always the big family, always going out. And I was the youngest, and I was always told to shut the fuck up and just kind of leave him alone.
Nothing changed. Huh?
Right, yeah. Nothing changed at all. No, it's not even a joke.
Martin, somebody wants to wish you happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you.
This is Scarface. 9876. Hey guys, I just wanted to say Happy Father's Day again, even though I already said it on the Facebook Messenger and Twitter. I just wanted to say directly to you guys, Martin, you are the king of puns. So could you give us that good old father's joke today? Good old Father's Day joke today.
Dance.
Thank you for checking.
I know, right?
Thank you for checking out the message. You guys, you give so much laughter. You bring so much joy to many people. Thank you guys all for all your hard efforts and connecting with your followers, and I'm happy to have discovered your channel. Have a great Sunday and stay toasty. And Martin, they have
that's Jose Navarro, by the way, the one that keeps making the gay fan art of Goodwin and Gertz.
Is that his art right
there? Yeah, it's his art right there,
because he made a card for you with his own pun. You want to see it?
Sure.
All right, here you go, Martin.
Martin's like, no.
Here's the card right here.
Oh, it's just a cat. Oh, okay.
But it says every father knows each small sacrifice is worth it for the family, even if it hits him in the wallet. Oh, that's that good old-fashioned Garfield shit, Mark, right there.
I don't get it.
I don't either. Let's just laugh and look at the cat.
I mean, I get it, but why, you know, why does a cat have a wallet in?
Because he's a cat daddy is the whole thing, I mean, think.
But it's like a regular cat. With
what's the small shit say?
Oh, it says, let me see.
Daddy.
It's
I also want this.
It's some on the side where somebody's saying, "Daddy, I also want this new PlayStation game and rent the movie and the movie."
This man has gone fan art crazy. I'm getting all this weird slash fiction of you guys, cats and shit. Jose, I appreciate it. Slow down. Work on your piece.
Wait, none with you and Ian?
None. Please don't encourage that, man. God damn it.
I think he made this while he was on a fever dream too.
Why is the cat crying?
You know, the cat is crying. The cat is wilding.
It looks like your flu is contagious.
He's holding money with the back of his hand.
The back of his hand, right? He's clasping with the back.
Like he just bitch slapped the money. Oh, well, hey, man. I liked it. I like it. That's cute.
Yeah,
man.
So what's your joke, Martin? Come on.
Yeah, Martin, you got a joke?
Snap, snap. Come on.
I don't, and that's a real catastrophe. I didn't want to do it. That's not the way these things work, honestly.
So did you? I have a question about your dads. Did you guys go to the movies regularly with your dad?
Fuck no.
No.
Oh my god.
You know what? I do remember going to the movie with my dad, and again, I just couldn't. My dad took me to a few movies. It took me to some Disney films, and he was, you know, he was just doing his fatherly duty. But yeah. There was a time, a big gap where we didn't go to the movies, and one night he wanted to do something with the family, and he said he just called us in one day, and he said, "Corey, ask your mom if we can go to a movie." And I said, oh, "Shit, okay, yeah, hell yeah, we hardly ever do this." Mama, you know, my daddy wants to go to the movie, and the movie that I chose. You know, it made him uncomfortable because the movie that I chose for us to go see as a family was The Road War. And I think he had in mind that we were going to go see some Disney shit or some Western or something. But there was that scene like when they stripped down the girl in the dirt, you know, and they had the violence in there and everything. And you could see my dad just cringing because he did not like sitting there with all that with his family. It was a rated R movie.
Sure.
And he didn't feel like I should be watching a rated R movie with him. Although I watched all kind of rated R shit. My mom loved that shit. My mom was cool. I remember when we came out, she's like, "I just love that little nature boy. That little nature boy is so funny." She talked about the dude with the boomerang.
Oh, yeah. The feral kid.
That little nature boy was so crazy. Yeah.
I only remember our parents taking us to the movies. I think I was 11. My little brother was 5 to see the Taxi Driver.
Oh, what?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You didn't go with your family to Star Wars?
No.
No?
No.
My brother would take me to see rated R movies, and people would just be so pissed at us because my brother would laugh. I knew the shit that he would look at and laugh, and he would always make jokes. And I remember I don't even remember the name of the movie, but there was a movie where this woman, these guys broke in, and they wanted to take this old woman's ring, and she wouldn't give it up. And they tried to take it off, and it was stuck. So they went and got these pliers, these wire cutters.
Was this Death Wish?
It was another movie because Charles Bronson wasn't in it.
Okay,
But unless that is Death Wish, but I was really young.
Okay,
I remember Ivy Twin Theaters where we saw it, and they took some wire cutters and they got that woman's finger, and the way she they cut it, she like ah, and my brother just laughed. I was laughing with him, and people were looking at us like, "Are you fucking sick?"
Psychopath.
Yeah, I said, he made me. But let's see here. We do one more. We already did that. We did the review of All Eyes on Me. Did that.
No, Star Wars, they just dropped me off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad took me to everything. Probably did not he? A great idea since, you know, Exorcist and everything when I was probably 8 or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to get
everything. He took me to everything.
Yeah, it's hard to get my dad to a movie theater because every time, without fail, somebody's behind us kicking his back of his seat.
Oh.
Every time. And every time he always has to make a big scene about it. And I'm always there like, "Dad, just chill out." And he's, "No, I pay my money. He's not going to kick the back of my seat." And he'll say it, but to kids, he'll say it to adults.
He should.
They shouldn't be kicking the back of his seat.
Yeah. I know, right? But like, no matter what, whatever movie it is, it could be an adult movie or a child.
Okay, now it's starting to sound like nobody's kicking his seat.
They hit him in the back of his head with a dick.
Stop that!
Get your hand on my pocket.
Kids movie, a rated R movie. Somebody's kicking the back of his fucking seat, and without fail.
No, that's.
I went and saw Sing with the koalas and shit. That's the last time I saw a movie with them in theater, and some adult. That movie Sing, right?
Yeah.
Because my nieces and nephews are all there.
You and your dad.
It wasn't just me and my dad. God damn it. All right, son, let's go watch this wholesome family. No. And some like 7-year-old dude was kicking the back of his seat. Like the most unlikely dude ever. And my dad was about to fight him. And I'm like, "Dad, come on. Pick your battles."
Oh, in your little 7-year-old ass.
Yeah. No, 70. 70.
70. Okay.
He's going to beat up an older dude.
Hey, Carl, you... I guess at this point, you're going to be 50 pretty soon.
Yep.
Was it a conscious decision? If I'm going into an area that's too personal, let me know. But was it a conscious decision between you and Elizabeth to never have kids?
We tried.
Actually, oh, you did?
About 10 years ago. Yeah, it just never worked out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you never thought about adopting?
Same age. Yeah, not our thing.
Yeah.
We're just too busy doing stuff to, you know, travel and everything.
So. I keep telling Mia, look at Carl. You know, because she keeps talking about a kid, and I'm just like, but you talk about how cool Carl is, and how he does all this cool stuff.
I mean, it is a very different lifestyle having kids, so I don't know.
I know.
Or, you want a kid.
She's been talking about it?
Oh, she's been talking about it for a while.
Yeah, dude. It's done, dude.
Yeah.
It's done.
The real question is, what would you name your son? Corey Jr.? Would you have a Corey 2?
Yeah, let's cut to the chase on this.
Yeah, like, that's the real thing. Would you have another Corey if it was a boy? If you had a girl,
you won't win the should we or shouldn't we. So you might win the I get to name the kid game.
I know.
If you start early now.
Right.
Well, I told her I want a girl just so I can name her Corina. And I can,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, are you serious? Are you some fucking George Foreman shit? Name all your kids some variant of Corey.
Yeah, like my brother-in-law's named Victor, so he has Victor Jr., Victoria, and a Vincent.
So unimaginative.
Yeah, so I want a Corey Jr. and a Corina. You know.
So you do want a Corey Jr.?
If we have a kid, yeah, I want a Corey Jr. And
you already got one working on your staff.
Yeah, you're just adding another Corey.
I know.
We
raised you, got you at the house. Man, the thing is, she's fooling herself. Because she thinks, like, our kid is going to be the cool kid. We're going to keep hanging. And she actually, we're going to keep going to bars.
No, you would not. You won't both be doing it.
You know, and I being in the Air Force and just seeing everyone's kid grow up and just seeing, you know, it's like a gamble. You don't know how these kids are going to turn out.
Yeah.
And about half of our friends are just, you know, wow. That would have been a complete nightmare. Yeah. You know?
Maven Cree says, so, of course, if you don't want kids, just keep showing her that picture. You as 7 years old. Imagine that's going to be your little girl right there.
Daddy. Talk about Air Force directing traffic with that forehead.
What you talking about directing traffic? Land this shit on her. Daddy. Can you see that shit with pigtails?
I'm just wondering what parts Mia could fix of that to make it an acceptable child.
No.
Like, that's not just a clone of Mia, you know?
In her mind, she thinks that we're going to be the cool hipster parents that are going around. Like, our kid's going to have a beard and shit hanging out at craft breweries.
You
with
can't
us.
Even grow a beard.
I can't even grow a beard.
Her brother can, so, you know, he might get that gene. You know, yeah. It's a toss-up, so.
Hey,
you'll find a way to make it work.
No, I know.
Look, I feel bad for your friends, and I do have friends who have trouble with their kids. I can say it's the best thing I've ever done.
Okay, all right. I'm not afraid to be a father. I'm not. I'm cool with kids. I just want her to.
He said convincingly.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of kids. You know.
Nah, man. I don't know. I'm not. I mean, if we have a kid, I'm cool with that. I think I can be cool with the kid, but she likes to sleep late. She likes to cook late.
There will be a lot of adjustments, and it will test your relationship.
And I don't think that she. I know. You know, that's one of the things I can say about being 13 years older than her. I know what to expect with this. I when I was 15, every time my sister had a fight, I was stuck with my nephew Vincent for like a week. And because nobody would watch that kid. My mother be at work. It would be the end of the summer. Like my sister got into a fight with a brother-in-law one time, and came home, and she was out doing something during the day or trying to reconcile with her husband or something. And I was stuck with him for about 4 days, raising him.
How old is this kid? At the time when you were 15.
At the time, he was like two and a half.
Oh, jeez, you're changing diapers.
I was. That's the time I told him when I was just tired one day. And he, bless his heart, man, he came to me. He said, he was trying to wake me up. And he's like, Kai, I did something, Kai.
What?
I know, and I just slept. I was like, man, just sit down. And then I got up, and I got him some chips. And I said, here, have the chips and sit down. And then he came back into the room, and he sat on me. And while he sat on me, I noticed that his ass was kind of squishy. And then I smelled it, and I was like, this boy shit on himself. And I couldn't say anything. I looked at him. He's like, I did the food. But yeah, eating chips with shit in his ass. And it was hot outside.
Pure bliss.
That's when I took his ass outside. What's that?
What is the number for raising a child through college? Isn't it 500,000 per child now?
That's like a million or something.
Yeah.
Hey, here's like the last.
Some outrageous number now.
Yeah. This is the last one right here. By the way, I took his ass outside and hosed his ass down. I didn't wipe him down.
Not your kid. You can do that. Your uncle.
I said, hey, let's go play in the water. I told him.
No, I was going to say, I thought you were going to like civil rights hose him down.
No, I did.
It'll teach him not to do that again.
No, I didn't know. I didn't. When he was tumbling the grass.
Sorry, this game's not fun. I'm sorry.
Shit flying everywhere. But no, I did tell him. I said, hey, it was more like Pulp Fiction. I was like, yeah, let me get out of your head. Because I told him, I said, look, go play in the water. Turn around. I said, let's get the bag. And he turned around and poked his ass. I sprayed it right in his ass. This is the last one right here. And then we're out. Hey, Corey, if you don't mind me asking, with the double toasted, will the double toasted ugly sweaters come back?
in stock in the holidays? Are they gone for the good? I don't know. Are they?
We'll probably get rid of the green one. We'll probably have a new one out this coming Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
But we are getting rid of a bunch of our stuff from our store. I know a third of our product's going to go right away. We have a new marketing merchandising guy who's like, you know what? If it's not selling, we're not keeping it. So if there's something you like on the store, buy now or else it might be gone tomorrow.
Ooh.
And then the middle third, we'll have maybe a couple weeks until we cut those out. So you can, last-ditch effort if you want to save some money and get some shirts. We're going to keep the top third, and we're going to release new shirts as the weeks go along, or once every month or something like that. So,
cool.
Yeah, so if you like something, buy it now because it may not be there tomorrow.
And you can wear it to our anniversary party.
Yeah, there you go. And I was going to go with this last thing. It's very short. Somebody said, did anybody hear about this? I did not.
Yes.
They said that, and this is one person, Christian Aeon, who's saying, hey, Double Tulsa, did you guys hear about the Venom universe integrating into the MCU? What do you guys think? And when you post it on YouTube, I guess a lot of people really like that Venom video that we did. Does that mean that they're scrapping the plans they had before?
Yeah, I think it was some sort of poker face thing. Like, yeah, we can get her on our own. Don't worry. We don't need the MCU. And everyone was like, fuck that. And so they were like, all right, okay, it is part of the MCU. It's fine. Yeah, we're just joking. It's all right.
So they're going to introduce it in Spider-Man and through Spider-Man?
I want to say that at least it's going to link up. So if they do a Venom movie, it'll tie back to at least Spider-Man. And then Spider-Man from the MCU.
Something told me that was the dumbest thing that they were trying to do.
It is the dumbest thing they could have done.
Trying to make a rated R Venom movie without Spider-Man. That sounded like some pure bullshit. Hmm. All right. We're going to get out of here. One of the things I forgot to tell you at the beginning of the show is that we are having the third year anniversary weekend party anniversary coming up in August. August 4th through the 7th. And that's going to be a weekend of parties, live shows, games, meet and greets, the lunches, the brunches, all good stuff. We hope to see you there August 4th through the 7th. Go to Party DT, and you can see all the details there and more coming up soon. We're going to be making some videos and give some more details. Yes, sir.
And tomorrow we will have the new poster. That's a little sample of it.
Ooh.
We'll put it up tomorrow. I put up a little teaser on Instagram if you want to see the silhouette. But there's going to be one or two changes, I think. They were going to add the toasty on it right in the bottom. Other than that, that's about it. Change the titling, and it's good. So, yeah, poster's going to be released tomorrow. All the new images. We'll have shirts up for the new poster very soon. So,
damn,
yeah.
Is it at the North Door?
It's going to be at the North Door. Yeah,
cool.
That is nice.
Yep. So, yeah, tomorrow you'll see what he's seeing right now.
That's amazing. Y'all going to love this poster right here.
And lastly, I want to thank our sponsors who have already given us stuff. Tribe Comics, Dragon's Lair Comics and Games, Rogues Gallery gave us some stuff, and very soon it's going to be 1UP Video Games out of Fresno, California, my hometown.
Oh, right on.
Got a buddy who has a video game shop who's donating a bunch of stuff. So,
can I also say, can y'all stop talking shit about Sammy Wynn? Not a lot of people do.
Wait, but those people are still talking about
him? No, they're not. No, they're, well,
it's him. You know, it's just him. Like, and Sammy needs to stop doing this shit and that.
Fuck,
you're
you.
Infinite Mega, aren't you?
Yes.
No, you're Naruto. Yeah. Naruto hates me. What's up, dude?
But there are a couple of people, not a lot, but there are a couple of people like, man, he just ruins the show for him when he comes up near the end. I'm like, no, he does not.
No.
And actually, he's very helpful. Sammy held it down on his own on the show one day.
When you got the flu.
When I had the flu. I was hungover. Sammy, he's starting to hold it down on his own show now that they're doing it live. And he's very helpful when he comes in on the end of this show. So y'all leave Sammy alone. Y'all exaggerating about that shit. When Sammy fucks up, believe me, I will let him know. But until then, shut the fuck up.
On air in front of everybody. Yeah, no, right.
But no, everything's been good, man.
No,
you've been
doing
a great job. I want you to know, I didn't want to stop you from doing your new show. I just want you to get this other show done, and then after that, we'll do it.
Yeah, and speaking of new
I love
show,
the idea for his new show.
Yeah, I do want to do it. I just want to get, man, we just got to get everything together.
Sure.
So with that said, while you're getting all your stuff ready, Sammy Easy Shit, 1986 Transformers this week. So special guest Will Valley. So.
All right.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. Right.
He loves Transformers.
Yeah.
So. Right. Alan, I wish we could have talked to you, man. So many people in. Yeah, I didn't know you were coming, though. And Renee, come here, sir. Come here. No. Hell no. Oh, no. Hey, man. You know. Come here. No, come
here. Get in close. Bring it in, man. Say hi to Papa.
Hey, what's up?
That bitch shit was nothing but love, man.
Okay.
I didn't mean
to. Pulling away from you.
Now I took a good look at that.
Yeah.
I better apologize real quick.
I see the bitch is.
Yeah. Oh, he's about to make me a bitch after a while. You know I was just joking, right? We're playing the flu. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And Alan, we'll talk to you again.
Show up.
Alan, yeah. Bring Mr. Horse up here to talk to you.
So you should have had Alan on when you did The Last Dragon.
I know. Yeah. I tried. I tried to get a hold of him. I couldn't get a hold of him. Yeah. I definitely wanted that. And I wanted to find the video of him at the anniversary party.
Oh, yeah.
The SpillCon when he dressed up and showed up.
Yeah. Were you there for that?
I was not. I'd never seen it. Apparently, this footage.
It was epic.
I am. Was it?
Yeah.
You don't remember?
No.
He's about to black out.
When Alan came on stage.
Oh, when Alan. I thought you were talking about something. When Alan did his, you motherfuckers, go shut up and listen to my music.
Everybody's waiting for him to do something.
Okay, well, man, people waited for a whole minute. They just looked at this going to be good. Oh, you just wait. Alan going to get something good for you. And then finally somebody said, I remember, I will never forget, somebody yelled out, do something, Alan. And Alan still just sat there. No, there's a good part right here.
Playing music that he produced, but he didn't tell anybody that he produced this music.
Yeah, he got dressed up and shown up to just get on stage and sit and play his demo reel. And then wonder why, what the fuck happened?
The build up, though.
The hype.
Yeah, he got booed off stage and walked off dressed up like, you know what?
Who's the bat?
But no, hey, no, you know what? Not. It was unforgettable, though.
No, it was.
If he had done something, it would not have been as spectacular as him doing nothing.
No, no, I love it myself. Yeah. You know me. But anyway, people, we went longer than I thought. I'm going to get out of here because I'm...
You're about to pass out.
Yeah, I'm about to pass out. We went longer than I did. I hope I wasn't too sick for people out there. Thank you for coming in, sir. Mr. Rikiki.
Spanish Dom.
Good times.
Yes, yes it is.
And that hat is a trip, by the way. Have you noticed his hat? That's like a four-molded wicker hat. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's like molded to his head. Shit's dope.
It costs $4,000.
No, it's Rick and Ferguson.
Yes. Yeah, so,
thank you. Thank you.
I thought you said it's a Rick and Morty.
I'm going to get one myself. One of the Rick and Morty. It's from another dimension.
Yeah. Shit throws up on him. Looks into Carl. Hey, man, thank you for coming in, though. Yeah. You know, really, we were just having fun with you.
You too.
It's great seeing you. And I, you know, I'm not going to give you the whole spiel today because I got to get out of here. But, hey.
Take your meds tonight, all right?
We I'm going home and going to bed, man. I might hang out for a little bit.
I know it.
Got these people here.
I hear,
his meds is tequila.
Yeah, I hear alcohol solves everything. But...
Kidneys just fail at the bar.
But hey, people, I'm glad I made it through with you. I know I wasn't 100% today because I am ill, but I'm glad that you were here. I hope the show at least went somewhat decent for you out there. So I'll be back on my A game again tomorrow. What's up? What you say? You mess me down. Oh, okay. That is some freaky shit you did. The dog is up here licking his ear. He's like, oh, yeah, keep doing it. Yes. You're fucking that dog, right?
That's why he paid $1,000 and picked it up from Orlando.
It was like a mail order bride.
Yeah, it's like going to Thailand.
Look at right at the back of his neck. He knows the spot.
Boy, he's looking at his neck and he ain't budging, man.
So, Corey, what are you taking tonight?
Oh, shit, I might take that dog. I'm taking Alfie. What is it?
Afrin.
Afrin.
And what else?
Advil. Afrin and Advil.
No, Afrin's actually not good.
Nope. 3 days. 3 days.
It's addictive. It's
as long as he does the 3 days, then he's fine. But it's really powerful. It will knock it out. That's my doctor got me on. So,
okay.
But 3 days only. Just 3 days, and then
kills you anything have to, organic
you
in know, the body.
You do your Sudafed.
It is. Yeah. You don't want to go past 3 days with it.
Okay.
Just stay 3 days, you're fine.
You have a new habit.
Dr. Rikiki, thank you, sir.
But yeah, it'll basically knock it in half.
All right.
The flu. So.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm desperate enough to try anything right now. Oh, people, let me get on out of here. And excuse me, email us at kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's KCOOLMANZ @gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and or advice. Now I'd like to be part of the show today. It's too late. We're out of here, but we got more shows coming up. And you can be a part of those shows by emailing us here. In that email, put your phone number in, put your Skype contact in there, press in. Hallelujah! We're up in your home, bringing the spirit, the only pastors in the world that do the house calls. On the Twitter, at KCoolMan. On Instagram, at Double Dose Fan Page. On the Facebooks, type in Corey.Coleman.5. Would you like some private time with me?
Yes.
Would you? Well, then, Martin, that is that Corey.Coleman.5 address right there. You can reach me at. If you want to reach all of us, then you can do so by reaching us at Double Toasted. But if I am too busy, Mr. Thomas, Minister Martin.
I can service you on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoPro. Or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. And while you're there, check out and join the group Children of the Toast, where you'll find Mr. Sammy Gonzalez.
Sammy Gonzalez DT on Facebook. The Mexcellence on all other forms of social media. Sammy C. Shit. Transformers. Thursday, 7 p.m. Back to you, Corey.
Oh, no. Back to you people at all. Let me put my music back a little bit. Y'all talking too goddamn much. Oh, people, join us here in the world famous Double Toasted Studios right there. And we'd like to see you here because you know you're going to be visiting Austin. Hey, you're going to love it so much that you're going to be moving to Austin. You probably are already here to tell nobody. Change that. kcoolmans@gmail.com. Come see the show. But that is it. Good night. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you are listening to or watching this, goodbye
and stay toasty.
That's a good looking dog, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Dewey-doo.